In a way to understand the stupid words of pride. It would take an acrobat to already tried all that. So I'm gonna let him fly. And things can move at such a pace. Second hand, just wave goodbye. You know the light has left his face, but you can't recall just where or why. So there was really nothing to it.
This picture, there's something I'm not seeing.
This is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm Sarah Turner.
All charges have been dropped against anti-war protesters and a South Carolina longshore official arrested in the port of Oakland a year ago. American President Lines and Stevedoring Services of America were being picketed for war profiteering. Charleston longshore unionists participated in several anti-war rallies and were attacked by riot-clad police at the behest of the maritime companies.
On May 11th, by a 59-40 vote, the United States Senate rejected an amendment to a corporate tax cut bill that would have extended federal unemployment insurance benefits to a growing number of Americans out of work for 6 months or more. Assuming the one absent senator would have voted yes, the fight would have at least lived another day, but as of now, the effort's officially dead until after the November election. The missing man was Massachusetts Democrat John Kerry, who was out on the campaign trail in Kentucky. A Kerry spokesman says the vote was meaningless as GOP leaders in Congress had vowed to kill the extension by any means necessary on the grounds that it would have added more red ink to a budget already swimming in it.
The future of overtime pay protections is still threatened. On Wednesday, House Democrat George Miller offered a motion stating that any worker currently eligible for overtime pay would not lose it under new regulations announced last week by the Bush administration. But he was stopped by Republican Majority Leader Tom DeLay. The Senate approved a bill that contains two bipartisan amendments to protect employees from the overtime pay regulations. Barring congressional intervention, the changes, which would eliminate overtime pay for up to 8 million workers, will become effective in August.
British firefighters are threatening another summer strike unless last-minute provisions added by the government to a laboriously negotiated national contract are dropped. The Fire Brigades Union especially objects to changes which could lead to reductions in benefits for overtime work and rest periods. The union's so angry it suspended its national conference this week and told delegates to go out and rally the rank and file, possibly for action beginning in July. Last June, the British military took over fire service in the country for 2 weeks as firefighters picketed.
Here's today's Dow Bob Report.
A new study by a Washington-based organization, The Sentencing Project, found that the number of people serving life sentences has increased dramatically over the past decade, even as the nation's violent crime rate has fallen. Since 1992, the U.S. has seen an increase of 83% to more than 127,000 inmates. The study attributes the rise in life sentences to mandatory minimums and three strikes laws.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements? And what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
The powers that be, both political and corporate, are expert at fooling themselves while mistakenly thinking that they're also fooling us. The latest culprits in this fool's game are the barons of cable television. Lobbyists for such outfits as Time Warner, Cablevision, and Cox rammed a deregulation law through Congress in 1997 that allows them to set their own rates. Trust us, they said at the time, promising that the elixir of unregulated competition would magically cause our monthly cable charges to fall. Like rubes at their first medicine show, Congress swallowed this tonic of lies, and now you and I are stuck with an unregulated cable TV monopoly in each of our towns that, far from lowering our rates, has jacked up our monthly bills by 40% in just 6 years. Well, yes, say the cable giants, but we now give you more channels than before. Who do they think they're fooling? Yes, we get more channels, but they show the same old junk, including repeats of repeats and dozens of channels we never requested and never watch. Indeed, we pay for about 63 channels, but mostly watch about 8. Well, yes, say the giants again, still believing they're fooling us, but the fees we pay for programming are up to program costs. Besides, the cost of all the programs you get on cable is only about $7 of your monthly cable bill, which now averages nearly $37. Well, yes, say the giants, trying one more trick on us, but we need higher rates to survive. Survive? Your profit margins are running above 30%, about 3 times the average of other industries. This is Jim Hightower saying, to fight this tomfoolery, call Consumers Union, 202-462-6262.
It's difficult enough to work your way through rates as low as 2.63%, the lowest federal rates in 40 years. 1-800-2-COLLEGE. It's the smartest call you can make.
Toyota owners, tired of paying high gas prices? Well, how about paying nothing? That's right. Toyota is giving away free gas for a year to 12 lucky winners. Plus, 1,000 more will win $50 fill-ups. Just come into your participating Toyota dealer to enter the sweepstakes. You'll get the very best competitively priced service performed by Toyota trained technicians using genuine Toyota parts. Come in today and ask about our May tire and service offers.
No purchase necessary. Ends May 31st, 2004. Void or prohibited. Open to legal U.S. residents 18 or older with valid driver's license only. Void in Hawaii. Official rules at Toyota.com.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome back to our program, friends. Tom Hartman here, broadcasting live coast to coast, border to border, and streaming around the planet on radiopower.org and archives at whiterosesociety.org. Live from outer space on the Sirius satellite radio system and on terrestrial radio stations from California to North Carolina. Today it's Friday. Shabbat Shalom, TGIF. Whatever is appropriate for you. It's the end of the work week. As soon as I get off the air, I'm hopping on a plane to St. Louis, speaking at a conference down there, the National Attention Deficit Disorder Conference. Yes! Yes. Oh, I've written some books on it, and I suppose it's a label I can wear. Anyhow, so we're doing that. Today is it's our first hour of our Friday program, and we are very pleased, as always, to have our Brunch with Bernie segment. Congressman Bernie Sanders in 1991 became the first independent congressman elected in 40 years to the House of Representatives. He's since been reelected 5 times. He's the longest-serving independent in the history of the House of Representatives. Welcome, Bernie.
Good to be with you, Tom.
Oh, great to have you here. Bernie, before we get into the topics, I know we wanted to talk about Iraq and jobs and a few other things. We've got a caller who called in during the news and very patiently waiting. Let's just go right to her first, if that's all right with you.
Sure.
Robin in San Leon, Texas, listening on radiopower.org. Hey, Robin, welcome to the program.
Oh, Tom, Robin's a man.
Yeah. There you go. What's up?
Well, first, I'd like to commend you on your 10 steps to restore democracy here on your website.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Bernie, keep raising hell.
Okay.
Okay. One of the things, human rights are for humans, and one of the problems that, you know, I have with picking someone to vote for president is I don't hear anybody echoing, you know, your number one 10 steps to restore democracy. And, you know, I know there's some differences between Bush and Kerry, but it still looks like an apple to me. You know, one's orange and one's red, or however you want to put it. And, maybe Bernie knows better. What do we need to do to get things to to where, you know, the United States is, you know, pro-people and not pro-corporation.
Okay.
You know, I read Kerry's webpage yesterday, and, you know, all I read out of it, he just wants to manipulate the tax code, you know, no different than Republicans. So I like to hear what you all have to say about that.
Okay. Well, Robin asked a very good question, and I think millions of people are asking, and let me be very frank in giving you my answer as an independent. I'm not a Democrat, and I'm not a Republican. I think what this election is about is much less about John Kerry than it is about George Bush. In my view, Bush is the most right-wing president that we have had in the modern history of this country, and I fear very much that another 4 years of Bush without having to come to the voters again will be a lot worse than the past 4 years, which have been, in my mind, terrible with very distorted priorities. And in fact, some of the decisions that will be made in the next 4 years are likely to be irreversible in our lifetime in terms of women's rights, civil liberties, the privatization of Social Security and Medicare, and the continuation of an incredibly unilateral and aggressive foreign policy. So I am not going to sit here and tell the listeners that John Kerry is great shakes, that the world is going to change overnight with John Kerry in the White House. It's not. He is a moderate Democrat. But I think the major task in front of us is to stop George Bush and his administration and right-wing Republicanism in their tracks right now, elect Kerry, and use the time to develop a progressive movement which will demand the kinds of fundamental changes that we need to democratize this country, something that Tom talks about all of the time, create national health care, a fairer distribution of wealth and income, a sensible foreign policy, et cetera, et cetera. But I see the defeat of Bush as our major priority. Is there a difference between Kerry and Bush? Yes, there is. There is a great deal of difference between a moderate Democrat and an extreme right-wing Republican.
Yeah, and if Kerry really is, as the cons portray him, the most liberal Democrat in the United States Senate, Then you know, more power to him. I mean, I think
that's true. But
I realize it's a bit of an overstatement. I think he's like number 17 on a lot of lists. But in any case, and the other thing I think that we need to remember, and you're, I'm sure, more of a student of the, you know, the history of Washington politics than I am, is that when Franklin Roosevelt came into power, his original platform in 1932 was very moderate, very milquetoast, let's just stay the course and move things along, and there was this progressive populist movement that had started during the Gilded Age, when the robber baron corporations started killing strikers, rolling back the labor unions, and turning America into a feudal state, wiping out what little remnant of the middle class was left after the Civil War, and that progressive populist movement, in addition to bringing about direct election of the Senate and women's suffrage, put the pressure on Franklin Roosevelt, and look what, I mean, you know, he became one of the best presidents in the last century, certainly. And I think,
you have a guy in the White House now who in 4 years, to the best of my knowledge, 3.5 years, has not met with labor leaders, leadership of the AFL-CIO, does not meet
not
with
once.
Rights workers, has turned his back on women's rights, has antagonized the entire world in terms of our unilateral foreign policy. So I think you're exactly right. With Kerry, at least we have a chance.
Yeah.
At least we can bide our time and try to build up something. With Bush, we're going to continue to move radically to the right, and that's something this country can ill afford.
Bush has seriously never met with labor leaders?
That is the best line I'll guess.
That's
with the top ranking, with the top leadership.
Well, you know, I'm not surprised. You know, Dick Cheney's energy policy meetings, they didn't invite any environmentalists in, or even any even corporate representatives of industries that were developing alternative energy sources. They said, no, you can't come in. Not going
to
happen.
So to answer, Robin's question, it's a good question. And I don't think, no one is going to hear me going around and say, hey, vote for John Kerry, the world is going to change, everything's going to be great. That ain't the case. This is the real world, folks. But I think the main thing is to defeat Bush now, try to develop a progressive movement, and fight for the changes that many of us believe in.
Yeah, amen. Well said. Our number, by the way, is 1-866, one of those newfangled toll-free numbers. It's a variation of 800, 1-866-889-8894. If you have questions, comments for Bernie Sanders, Congressman Bernie Sanders, the only independent member of the House of Representatives. Bernie, I'm assuming you saw the notorious photos.
Yes, I did.
You want to comment on that and your thoughts on the
there were photos and there were videos as well, and it was more of the same, more of the shocking and ugly visuals that we have seen over the last week. In fact, some of them were exactly the same pictures that were in the paper. They dealt with humiliation of Iraqi, sexual humiliation of Iraqi prisoners, among other things. And I think the end result of all of that around the world, and certainly in Muslim countries, where people are very, very, very sensitive about these kinds of things, is to make a very bad situation in Iraq that much worse. Tom, there was a piece, I don't know if many of the listeners heard it, but the occupation authority in Iraq, the American authority there, does polling on occasion. And recently they did a poll. They did the poll. This is our people doing
the CPA.
Poll, which showed, that's right, which showed that 80% of the Iraqis questioned reported a lack of confidence in the coalition provisional authority, and 82% said they disapprove of the U.S. and allied militaries in Iraq. That's from the Washington Post yesterday. So the question then arises, if we are now more and more disliked by the Iraqi people themselves, what are we doing there, and how do we get out? And I think that is the $64 question.
Yeah, 64,000, I think, was Groucho's old
billion or whatever it is.
now it's billions.
Later, yeah.
Yeah. So what is the answer? What
the difficulty? I mean, I'll give you my views as to what I think should happen. The difficulty is it's so unlikely that this guy in the White House is going to do it, because he's the one who got us there in the first place. The exact problem is based on what he has done. He declared unilateralism. I mean, he told us the weapons of mass destruction, and there was a link between Iraq and Osama bin Laden, et cetera, et cetera. But basically, he told the rest of the world and the UN to fly a kite. The United States will do it, go to war anytime we want. And that is the essential problem. So now what you do is you have the rest of the world saying, the United States is in this alone. Why should we help them? Why should we help them? And the antidote, of course, is that's exactly what needs to happen right now. Not only for the good of our own troops over there. We have now lost 780 young men and women, or for our taxpayers. We spent a few hundred billion dollars. But in fact, in order for us to have any credibility, it's going to have to be the international community saying, hey, this is just not the United States running Iraq. This is the UN. This is the world. We are, in fact, working for the best interests of the Iraqi people. We want self-governance in Iraq. But whether this particular president, who has really shown the rest of the world he could care less about their views, is prepared to legitimately share power, that's the question. I have no particular reason to believe that he has that in mind.
Well, in fact,
that's the difficulty.
Yeah, yesterday's Wall Street Journal, I don't know if you saw it, the front page story here, behind the scenes, U.S. tightens grip on Iraq's future, and they just go through item by item by item. I mean, it's just, if you haven't seen this, Bernie, track down yesterday's Wall Street Journal.
Okay.
Basically saying, we're not giving up anything. We're not giving up the corporations that we've sold to American corporations. We're not giving up control of the oil. We're not giving up control of the military. It starts out with the story of Hadir al-Abi, who runs the Ministry of Communications. We just took away his authority and told him that he will not have authority even after the transition. This is the Minister of Communications. That we're going to run the communications in the country. We're going to run not from telephone systems to television networks. It's going to be our responsibility after the transition. This is the Bush.
Our responsibility, and that's 750 young Americans who are dead, 4,000 were wounded, several hundred billion dollars that have been spent, and the rest of the world says, hey, you want it, you got it. Don't ask us to do anything.
Yeah, not to mention, you know, 20, 30, 40,000 Iraqi civilians dead.
Right.
You know, the cost in blood and the entire Islamic world in flame. Anyhow, let's get to the phones. We've got about a minute and a half before break here. I think it's time for Chris to get a question in, and then maybe you can answer it after the break. Chris in New Mexico, thanks for calling 1-866-889-8894.
My pleasure. Hi, Tom and Congressman. Good to talk to you again. Yes, limited autonomy, which is a fairly vile oxymoron as far as I'm concerned. I wanted to, just to make a political point, get the congressman's views on the savaging that Bill Clinton has been taking, because apparently he had an opportunity to take out Osama bin Laden before 9/11, and he didn't. Well, as reported in detail by NBC, The Washington Times, The New York Times, George W. Bush had four distinct and well-documented instances when we had al-Zarqawi ready to be killed, and he stopped each Pentagon plan one by one. I just want to make political hay with that point. You have a good day, gentlemen.
Okay, Chris. You're familiar with that, Bernie?
Yeah, I am.
This is the guy who executed the kid.
I mean, let's be fair and say that the Clinton administration did not do all that they could have in the war against terrorism, although there is a substantial amount of evidence to suggest that they regarded it as a much more serious threat throughout their tenure than the Bush people did before 9/11. There's enough blame to go around, but what we can expect is certainly the Bush administration to be blaming everything that's ever happened in the world on the Clinton administration.
Yeah, and Democrats in general. They constantly do it. 1-866-889-8894, a telephone number. It's the Tom Hartman Program. Brunch with Bernie. Congressman Bernie Sanders, our guest. 20 minutes past the hour. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Wakefield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates block out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com. Or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
Do you want to find out what the invasion of Iraq was really about? Read the new illustrated book, We the People, A Call to Take Back America by Tom Hartman. Once you've read We the People, you'll understand why conservatives are trying to bankrupt government and how perpetual war is used as a political strategy in the United States. You'll learn how our votes are in danger and what we must do about it. You'll discover why the Alien and Sedition Acts of 1798 matter today. Populist watchdog and national radio commentator Jim Hightower had this to say about We the People.
Not only does this book tell you what's really going on, but it even draws you a picture of it. Read, learn, and act.
We the People, A Call to Take Back America by Tom Hartman. A compelling story of how a government by and for the people has been replaced by corporate domination. Fully illustrated by Neil Cohn, We the People issues a call to action in a most entertaining way. Available in bookstores everywhere.
Pine River, Michigan, where the abandoned Velsicol plant leaks cancer-causing chemicals into the water. It's a danger neighbors will be living with for years to come. The Bush administration says polluters no longer have to pay to clean up the mess they leave behind. Taxpayers do. That means less money, fewer cleanups, and more families left at risk. Mr. President, there is a better way. Make polluters pay. Protect our kids and community.
Hey, what does this word make you think of? Tchaikovsky.
Isn't it? So what's the word?
No, that is the word.
He loves it.
All right, who's Martha Graham?
She invented the graham cracker. Before her, there was only soda crackers.
Maybe they're not getting enough art. Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more, visit AmericansForTheArts.org, because all kids should get to appreciate Tchaikovsky's music and Martha Graham's dance. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
Hey, how you doing? Got a quick question.
Yeah?
Who was Rudolf Nureyev?
Rudy Nureyev.
Rudy.
Okay, I know this one.
Good.
Wasn't he a... Nureyev?
Nureyev.
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 Wasn't he a defenseman for the Maple Leafs?
Sure about that?
Could have been a goalie.
Yeah. Hey, how you doing? Who was Louis Armstrong?
That's easy. He was the first guy on the moon.
Really?
You know, one small step for man.
Sure, one giant leap for Louis. Hey, young lady.
Uh-huh.
Does the name Caravaggio mean anything to you?
Wasn't he the guy that went out with that mob guy's sister until he got whacked?
You know, no.
Are your kids as well-rounded as they could be? Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more about the value of arts education, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Nureyev's dance, Armstrong's horn, and Caravaggio's brush. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
And welcome back. 25 minutes past the hour. Tom Hartman and Congressman Bernie Sanders here with you. If you'd like to call pretty much any topic, anything you, any questions you have, any thoughts, comments, complaints, gripes, congratulations, 1-866-889-8894, our telephone number. Marge in Santa Fe, New Mexico is on the line. Hey, Marge, welcome to the program. You're live with Tom and Bernie.
Hello. Thank you. I have a question for both of you. In New Mexico, our governor, Bill Richardson, has said that he wants an energy NAFTA treaty among the United States, Canada, and Mexico. My question is for both of you. Would you please provide a best worst-case scenario regarding such a possibility?
Do you know what he's talking about, Bernie?
I honestly don't. This is the first that I've heard of that.
He sponsored a recent energy summit, and the article in the paper was a follow-up regarding that summit, and he was quoted as favoring such a thing, but there were no details provided.
Marge, I don't know the answer, but what I do know in terms of energy is that right now we need a very fundamental change in our energy policy. And what is really very exciting and optimistic, in a world where there's not a lot of optimists sometimes, we have the technology right now to make sweeping changes about how we produce and utilize energy in America. We're sitting now at the cusp of revolution, moving us to sustainable energy, moving us away from pollution and fossil fuels and nuclear power. The fastest growing form of energy in the United States and the world now is wind energy. And in some optimal places, wind is being produced at just very, very cheap rates in Texas and elsewhere. Solar energy is sitting out there really waiting to be capitalized. Hydropower is sitting there as well. So I think if we start funding these energy sources, we can break our dependency on fossil fuels and nuclear power.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Marge, for that call. I appreciate it. 1-866-889-8894. Roy in Rio Rancho is on the line. Hey, Roy, welcome to the program.
Good morning. Bernie, I know this isn't your bailiwick because you're on the in the House, but Frisk has been making lots of noises over on the Senate side about the judicial nominations and changing rules and all of that kind of stuff because they can't cram these right-wing ideologues down the throats of the Dems.
Right.
But one and related to that is this massive amount of money that's going to the state judicial races. And I don't know that there's a basic answer, but I'd kind of like to have you address that.
Okay, I mean, what's going on now is the Republicans have a small majority in the Senate. They are frustrated that because of Senate rules, which requires them to get 60 votes to end debate, that they can't do everything they want to do. They are, as Roy indicated, Frist has talked in the past about trying to change the rules and so forth. But the rules are there to protect the minority. The Republicans used them when they were in the minority, and I'm sure and hope that Tom Daschle and Democrats will fight back. In terms of the judicial appointments, one of the scary, I mentioned earlier in the show that my fears about another 4 years of Bush is that some of the decisions will be irreversible in our lifetime. And certainly one of them has to do with the judiciary. The truth is there are a lot of intelligent, conservative, Republican lawyers and jurists who could serve admirably. Not my point of view, but they are people that we would not be ashamed of in our court system.
Like David Souter. I mean, what a surprise. The guy was actually, a conservative with some integrity.
But and there are many of them. But what Bush is doing is time and time again going to the extreme right-wing fringe for his nominations, people who have shown and demonstrated a heck of a lot of contempt for the Constitution and for basic civil liberties in this country, and that scares me.
Yeah, and this is not something that's going to go away, and Bill Frist is just trying to shove this thing down everybody's throat. It's 29 minutes past the hour. We're talking with Congressman Bernie Sanders, our Brunch with Bernie segment. If you'd like to be on the air, the number is 1-866-889-8894. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. We'll be right back.
A must read, The Edison Gene, ADHD and the Gift of the Hunter Child by Tom Hartman, best-selling author of Attention Deficit Disorder, A Different Perception. Ed Halliwell, a nationally recognized expert on ADD, said this about the Edison Gene.
Tom Hartman demonstrates that ADHD can be associated with creativity, high achievement, and a most successful adaptive style.
The Edison Gene, now available in bookstores everywhere.
Pop and not-so-pop culture, democracy, and the news of the day. This is the Tom Hartman Program.
This is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm Sarah Turner. All charges have been dropped against anti-war protesters and a South Carolina longshore official arrested in the port of Oakland a year ago. American President Lines and Stevedoring Services of America were being picketed for war profiteering. Charleston longshore unionists participated in several anti-war rallies and were attacked by riot-clad police at the behest of the maritime companies.
On May 11th, by a 59-40 vote, the United States Senate rejected an amendment to a corporate tax cut bill that would have extended federal unemployment insurance benefits to a growing number of Americans out of work for 6 months or more. Assuming the one absent senator would have voted yes, the fight would have at least lived another day, but as of now, the effort's officially dead until after the November election. The missing man was Massachusetts Democrat John Kerry, who was out on the campaign trail in Kentucky. A Kerry spokesman says the vote was meaningless as GOP leaders in Congress had vowed to kill the extension by any means necessary on the grounds that it would have added more red ink to a budget already swimming in it.
The future of overtime pay protections is still threatened. On Wednesday, House Democrat George Miller offered a motion stating that any worker currently eligible for overtime pay would not lose it under new regulations announced last week by the Bush administration. But he was stopped by Republican Majority Leader Tom DeLay. The Senate approved a bill that contains two bipartisan amendments to protect employees from the overtime pay regulations. Barring congressional intervention, the changes, which would eliminate overtime pay for up to 8 million workers, will become effective in August.
British firefighters are threatening another summer strike unless last-minute provisions added by the government to a laboriously negotiated national contract are dropped. The fire brigade's union especially objects to changes which could lead to reductions in benefits for overtime work and rest periods. The union's so angry it suspended its national conference this week and told delegates to go out and rally the rank and file, possibly for action beginning in July. Last June, the British military took over fire service in the country for 2 weeks as firefighters picketed.
Here's today's Dow Bob Report. A new study by a Washington-based organization, The Sentencing Project, found that the number of people serving life sentences has increased dramatically over the past decade, even as the nation's violent crime rate has fallen. Since 1992, the U.S. has seen an increase of 83% to more than 127,000 inmates. The study attributes the rise in life sentences to mandatory minimums and three strikes laws.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
And welcome back, Defending America from the Conservative Weapons of Mass Deception.
Tom Hartman here with you with Congressman Bernie Sanders, the America's independent congressman, member of the House of Representatives. And our chat room, by the way, you go to tomhartman.com, click the chat link. It'll take you to the Democratic Forum on CompuServe. We've got a chat room in there that's live. And one of our regular members in the chat room, Tricia, is on the line. Hey, Tricia in Idaho, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you, Tom.
I hope you don't mind that I outed you there.
No, not at all. Not at all. I have a huge concern, complaints, grievances. Maybe Bernie can enlighten me or help me out here. We have become increasingly cranky. the idea that we've given up medical coverage because my husband can't afford it. In fact, nobody really can if they make between $30,000 to $60,000 in America, which is about what the average American is pushing out these days in their productivity of what they're worth. And what I'm kind of curious about is, you know, I've given up putting a college fund together for my kids. I've given up retirement, and I want to know how much more these congressmen that are making a hell of a lot more money than me and my husband, what more do they want us to give up?
Good question. But before we get to the congressman, of which I am one, let me inform Trish. It was just an interesting piece in the papers the other day. And the head of, because I think the issue is less with Congress. Congress works, in most cases, for moneyed interest in large corporations.
I don't know who's liberal here in Idaho, Bernie. I couldn't tell you because I tell you I have landed in the most wingnut place I could imagine, thinking that when it showed that Idaho, Boise in particular, was for a while the second largest growing city area to move into. It slipped to seventh or eighth, I think, now, because Forbes has reindexed and used different criteria. But my issue is these people, I don't understand who's average. I don't understand how they're representing me.
Okay,
when they
Trish,
can't
let me try to help you. Okay, I do know a little bit about this. And here's what goes on. What you have right now is a Congress and a White House overwhelmingly dominated by big money interests. So if you follow what goes on the floor of the House or in the United States Senate, almost every day, the legislation that is dealt with is legislation which is put forth by large multinational corporations and their CEOs for their benefits, not for the needs of the middle class or working families. For example, Fisher, you started off by talking about health care. And as you indicated, the cost of health care is soaring. More and more people are unable to afford any health insurance, and many others are underinsured. We pay by far the highest prices in the world for prescription drugs, on and on. Most importantly, we are the only, and I wonder if people know this, we are the only nation in the industrialized world that does not have a national health care program guaranteeing health care to all people. In every other major country on earth, there is no family as in like Trisha's, as she just described her family. We have 43 million Americans without any health insurance.
Right.
Trisha's family is one of them. And yet, because of the power of the insurance companies and the pharmaceutical companies over the political process, Trisha, it's very difficult for us at this moment to move forward in that direction.
Yeah, and Trisha, you know, the fact that congressmen make more than the average income in America, I mean, they're not, in defense of Congress, maybe that's a dumb thing to do, but it doesn't seem like...
Don't go there with me, really?
Right, well, you know, Bernie, it doesn't seem like you guys are getting rich, and I know that you're constantly traveling.
See, what the Republicans try to do is get people to hate the government and hate members of Congress. So then you have people now who are running for office who are multimillionaires. Schwarzenegger, an example in California, he doesn't have to take any money. Boy, isn't that wonderful? He doesn't make any salary. And increasingly all over America, you have multimillionaires who are running for office. You don't even have to pay me. What you're ending up with
and
is
I
the
really
government.
Americans
I'm sorry, go ahead,
didn't know that. Am I coming in?
Yeah,
yep, we got you.
Okay. All right. I lost you guys for a minute there. Okay. That Americans need to know, like, my husband was one of those people that served in the Gulf War. He was at an E3 corporal status in the Marine Corps. He was a military police officer on the Air Force base that they made in Al Jubail. It actually was an old airport that they had that they weren't even using. And I have to tell you, he was given explicit instructions on how to handle prisoner activities. He trained out in 29 Palms, so, you know, they do that on purpose. And I'm just sitting here and I'm going, you know, who's holding who accountable? We're not fiscally responsible, obviously. My family has to be extremely tight with the money. Apparently Congress doesn't have to be.
All right,
and,
but here's, Trisha,
you know, all this kind
this
of...
Thing.
inappropriate behavior going around internationally, and it just bothers me. It makes me wonder,
Tricia,
how does the average
person... Hang on there for 1 second.
Okay.
You there, Tricia?
Yeah, she's been talking.
Okay, here's the point. When you use phrases like Congress, you got to break it down. There are 435 members in the House, there are 100 members of the Senate, and we have an increasingly powerful president. Not every member of Congress agrees on these issues. In my view, the problem that we have now is more and more members of Congress, most of them in the Republican Party, but not all, certainly in the White House right now. These are people who are dominated by big money interests. They think it is more important to provide hundreds and hundreds of billions of dollars in tax breaks to millionaires and billionaires rather than make sure that all Americans have decent health care. They are much more interested in outsourcing. The president says outsourcing is a good idea, allowing corporations to take our jobs to China, to Mexico, to India, rather than protecting decent-paying jobs in America. Don't please blanket the entire Congress with the same, you know, in the same way. Some of us are fighting these things very, very hard. Some of us are fighting for working families and the middle class.
Yeah, this
That's
is really
my only. My only response.
Yeah, thanks, Tricia. This is really the old conservative trick, isn't it, Bernie? Really, shouldn't the argument be, let's bring all Americans by repealing Taft-Hartley, encouraging unionization, giving equal power to labor as to corporations, a rational trade policy. Let's bring the income of all Americans up to that of the members of Congress, rather than bemoaning the fact that the cons are ripping us off and killing the middle class and blaming
Mostly
Congress.
Mostly what
that.
They do, they don't do it. They used to do it more when the Democrats controlled the Congress. There were savage attacks on Congress. But the bottom line here is, if you weaken the role of government in our lives, which is certainly what Bush and the right wing want to do, if you privatize Social Security and Medicare, if you eliminate the minimum wage, if you have completely unfettered free trade, what happens to the middle class and working families of this country?
It vanishes. We become a third world country.
That's right. There'll be no environmental protection. Oh, we hate government. Let those polluters do anything they want. You don't want that environmental regulation. You don't want government Medicare, do you? So you don't have, so you'll have old people without any health insurance. That's freedom. That's freedom. So I think when people, before we go attacking, let's understand that the government now is controlled by people, A, who do not particularly believe in the concept of government working for the people, and there are folks in government now who are dominated by big money interests.
Yeah.
But the idea of government working for the interest of the people is what democracy, in my view, is all about.
Yeah, I would say these guys who, on the right are socialists. They're just corporate socialists. They want corporate socialism.
Believe me, one of the pieces of legislation that we're working on, Tom, I think we've talked in the past, we give tens of billions of dollars a year in corporate welfare.
Yeah.
To General Electric, to General Motors, to Boeing, to Motorola, to the largest corporations in America. You know what they do? They then move to China and elsewhere, and they say, oh, thanks for the billions.
Yeah, we need to start referring to the right-wingers as the socialists. I don't want to give socialists a bad name. Anyhow, 1-866-889-8894, our telephone number, 17 minutes before the hour. Harry in Grand Rapids, Michigan's on the line. Hey, Harry, welcome to the show.
Good morning. Good afternoon, Tom. Good afternoon, Congressman. I must say you guys are like a breath of fresh air after listening to some of this right-wing garble.
Thank you.
What I want to bring back is the Iraqi war. And are you there?
Yeah.
Yep, right here.
Oh, okay. It amazes me, well, I should say it more or less scares me how this country was brought into that war after all the lies that Bush issued and how he could just seem to bypass it and get right in there. Now I'm wondering, he's in his mire. And my feeling is that this country, Iraq, is very prime for an all-out civil war. It all depends on how these so-called government that's going to be installed in there. Now, my concern is, what will Bush do then? After all, he did say that Iran was part of the axis of evil. I wouldn't be surprised if we find ourselves embroiled into Iraq, in Iran. What is your feeling there?
I don't know. So I don't want to give you my own view. There are some people who are worried about the potential of conflict with Iran and with Syria. I can't tell you that that's true or not, but there are some people who have that feeling.
Bush has just slapped sanctions on Syria. I mean, isn't that kind of step one?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So.
You know, there are, you got some guys around the White House who are extremely aggressive militarily. Obviously, people have never served in the military, I should point out. But folks who really think that foreign policy should be dictated by the gun, and are prepared to use American might wherever they feel it's appropriate without worrying about what the long-term consequences of that is in terms of breeding anti-Americanism and, I think, providing recruits for people like Osama bin Laden.
Yeah, yeah, it's incredible. I was flying over to Africa in 1980. We went into Uganda during the war with Idi Amin, and we had gone back. We were starting up a hospital there, and Dick Gregory was going with me to get some PR and do some fundraising. And at 2 o'clock in the morning, we're on the plane over the Atlantic and talking about the Vietnam War, and he says, "You know what I don't understand? I don't understand why America thinks it has to run around the world shoving our way of life down the throats of people with a barrel of a gun." He says, "When you got something good, you don't have to force it on people. They will steal it." And you know, it's the lesson that's lost on these guys. Anyhow, let's get back to the callers here. Elaine in Eureka, California is on the line, 1-866-889-8894. What's up, Elaine?
Well, I was appalled when I read the news, local newspaper this morning about a woman in Midvale, Utah.
Mm-hmm.
22 years old, was involved in an auto accident in January. They removed half of her skull, put it in a freezer, because the hospital and Medicaid were fighting over who would cover the surgery.
Yeah, I saw that in the paper this morning.
That is terrible. I have lived long enough. I recall the Depression. FDR was a blessing. And I think this country is going down the drain rapidly.
Yeah.
I'm very concerned, and I appreciate your program very, very much.
Thank you, Elaine. Is there a question in there or a suggestion?
No, I just think that more should be done for Medicaid. There are people that, like was said, we have no national health care.
Yeah.
Many, many people are in need.
Here's the point on that one.
Yeah.
And
thank
it's
you,
astounding
Elaine.
To me. I know we're working in Vermont to try to develop a single-payer state-administered system. What I hope everybody knows is not only is the United States the only major country on earth without a national health care program, but we spend twice as much per person on health care as any other country, three times more than they do in the United Kingdom, which guarantees health care to all people. So the point is, given the enormous amount of money that we are spending on health care, huge amount, we can have the best quality health care in the world for every man, woman, and child in this country. And that's what we have got to do. But in order to bring that about, we need a political revolution in this country, because the leadership in Congress and certainly in the White House will fight tooth and nail against a national health care program and in support of the pharmaceutical industry and the insurance companies who make billions and billions of dollars off of the current health care system.
Yeah, and they're clearly trying to kill off Medicare. I mean, you know, doing
no
the best
question. They want to privatize that. That's part of what this recent so-called prescription drug bill on the Medicare is about. It'll be, yes, the answer is yes. That's what they want to do.
Dave in New Mexico is on the line. Dave?
It's a Dave in Humboldt.
Oh, I'm sorry, in Humboldt County. I've got it typed in wrong. What's up, Dave?
Well, many of us up here have been involved in, we've been passing a book around entitled The New Pearl Harbor. We are so gullible and so easily deceived that the problem may be even worse than we realize. In order for 9/11 to happen, Bernie, an awful lot of government cooperation or failure had to happen, alarming amount. And if it's as bad as some of us have come to conclude, it's time for everybody or the whole White House team to be taken out in handcuffs.
Yeah, okay, good point, Dave. What do you think about the conspiracy theories, Bernie? Are they starting to seem more credible to you?
No, I'm not into conspiracy theory, I have to say that, Tom and Dave. I think what bothers me about conspiracy theory or impeach Bush or do that or do that, it deflects attention from what has to happen. And one thing has got to happen. There is going to be an election in this country in 6 months. And Bush is not going to be impeached. And if he's impeached, Dick Cheney becomes president. That's absurd. There is one thing that we have got to do, and that is organize people and win this election. It's called old-fashioned politics. It means registering voters, educating people, making sure that people come out and vote. So I'm not a great sympathizer. History will tell us more about what happened in 9/11. And, you know, I don't know all of the details.
We'll find that out. Yeah.
You know, but the key thing now is, I think, the focus on making political change in this country. That's my view.
Okay. Hank in Grand Rapids, Michigan is on the line. Hank, we've only got about 30, 40 seconds. If you got a quick point, or I can hold you over the break. Go ahead.
You can hold me over. It's going to be about our voting machines.
Okay. Well, you want to start?
What's going to guarantee our vote? I mean, who's going to be able to say we can go back and count it?
Yeah.
With these two machines that they're...
That's an issue a lot of people are concerned about. We're making some progress in California. As you know, the Secretary of State has prevented the use of a lot of these Diebold touchscreen voting machines. Consciousness is being raised about it all over the country, but you're onto a very important issue.
Yeah.
Clearly,
yeah.
Democracy doesn't mean much if people are not sure that every vote that they cast is going to be counted, and we need paper receipts to make sure that...
We got to fix this. We got to fix this. Hang on. We'll be right back.
Do you want to own a computer? Is your credit less than perfect? If you have a checking account and can afford a weekly payment of $29.95 for just 12 months, then you are already approved for a brand new IBM, Dell, eMachine, or other name brand computer guaranteed. You heard right. Bad credit? No problem. There is no credit check, so you will not be turned down. If you have a checking account and can afford a weekly payment of $29.95 for just 12 months, you are approved for your brand new name brand computer. Just call 800-588-0596. Freedom Frog Funding says you are approved. So give us a call today at 800-588-0596 to have your brand new computer shipped right to you. And if you act now, we'll add a $200 upgrade and a one-year warranty for free. You heard right. We will upgrade your computer and throw in a warranty absolutely free. So don't wait. Let Freedom Frog Funding send you the computer of your dreams today. Call 800-588-0596. That number is 800-588-0596.
Hi, this is Tom Hartman. Join me this October as we explore Greece, the ancient birthplace of democracy. When the Founding Fathers were searching for the best and fairest form of government, they studied the models of Athenian democracy. We'll explore together this part of the ancient world where the ideas that today animate modern democracy were first worked out. This journey is set on the shore of the sparkling Mediterranean Sea with the sacred mountains of Crete behind us. We'll visit the ancient site of Gortian, famous for the Law Code of Gortian, large 6th century BC tablets of stone built into a wall and one of the first examples of laws ever written down, and now the oldest still in existence. I'll teach workshops at the two most important sites in all of Crete, Knossos and Phaistos, plus more. At Knossos, we'll experience the main ceremonial center and the palace of King Minos. For information on how you can join us on this trip of a lifetime, visit www.tomhartman.com or call 1-800-234-TOUR. That's 1-800-234-TOUR, T-O-U-R.
Are you or a loved one making too many trips to the bathroom? Listen closely because you're not alone. Over 30 million men suffer from an enlarged prostate. That's why if you make frequent trips to the bathroom, have urgency, hesitancy, or a diminished sex drive, then Super Prostate Formula is for you. It was designed by nationally recognized physician Dr. Michael Toplitsky. The results with his patients have been amazing. Reclaim control now and join the thousands of satisfied customers who have had incredible results with Super Prostate Formula. When you order two bottles of Dr. Toplitsky's Super Prostate Formula, you'll also get two bottles of his Super Libido Formula, an all-natural alternative to Viagra to enhance sexual vitality and performance, plus his book, Complete Guide to Prostate Health, and his newsletter, a total $100 value free as your gift. Guaranteed, or your money back. If you're not completely satisfied, return it for a full refund and keep his Libido Formula book and newsletter free as your gift. Not available in stores. Call now. 800-452-0978. 800-452-0978. That's 800-452-0978.
Scientists are trying to understand the ups and downs of a potent greenhouse gas. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. Scientists constantly monitor the atmosphere to keep track of gases that contribute to global warming. They had some good news to announce last fall about one of them. They said methane levels had not gone up for 4 years. That seemed like good news at the time, but it turns out the story is much more complicated. Ed Dubokinski is a chemist at a climate lab in Boulder, Colorado, that's run by the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. Dubokinski says some methane occurs naturally. For example, it bubbles out of wetlands as dead plants decompose in the soggy soil. But for more than 100 years, farming and industry have generated much more of this greenhouse gas than any natural source. Dugokensky says the year-by-year increase in methane levels slowed down during the 1980s and 90s. In 1999, methane levels didn't go up at all, and they remained stable for 4 years in a row. Some people said that showed we were bringing at least one greenhouse gas under control. Dugokensky says it's hard to look at the statistics and say exactly what was behind the brief period of stability, but whatever the reason, it appears to be over, and methane levels are going up once more.
Looking at our preliminary 2003 data, we see an increase again. So this stabilization isn't sort of a permanent stabilization. It was just a combination of factors that persisted over that four-year period that made methane look like it was perhaps stabilizing. But in 2003, we actually see a pretty significant increase.
Dugokensky's research on methane was published last year in the journal Geophysical Research Letters. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
This is the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman.
Good day, sunshine. Good day, sunshine. Good day, sunshine.
And welcome back. It is a bright, sunny day here in the People's Republic of Vermont. Welcome back to the Tom Hartman Radio Program with Congressman Bernie Sanders, our Brunch with Bernie segment every Friday at noon Eastern Time, whatever time it may be. Across the planet where you are, 1-866-889-8894. Our telephone number, Philip in Tampa, Florida, is on the line. Hey, Philip, what's up?
Hi. Congressman, as you're a student of history, I'm sure, during the occupation of France, Marshal Henri Pétain was given, he was essentially the provisional government and was able to rule about 65% of France, supported by German troops. The Pétain government was friendly to the German occupiers. What difference do you see between that situation and ours?
You mean domestically?
As I mentioned earlier in the show, there was a poll that just came out which shows that there's massive disapproval on the part of the Iraqi people to the American occupation, and that disapproval is growing. And also, as part of that poll, they asked people how they felt about the coalition provisional authority, and there's very little respect for that as well. So I think, obviously, in order to ultimately restore stability in Iraq, the Iraqi people are going to have confidence that the people who are running this country represent their interests. They don't feel that right now.
Yeah. 1-866-889-8894. Roberta in New Mexico is on the line. Hey, Roberta.
Hello. Good morning to both of you. And Tom, I want to say that I wish you would let me finish my question to the congressman before you give him time.
We have 30 seconds, Roberta.
I would like the same courtesy you extend to a man. Congressman, I am very enraged at you, and I have been before, at your limp-wristed answer to we the people who call you, asking for you to do your duty. The whole Congress has failed to support the Constitution by failing to act on the 14th Amendment, Section 3, impeaching all government officials who do violate that Constitution themselves.
Okay, thank you, Roberta. Bernie, we've got about 20, 30 seconds here over the music.
Well, I've answered that. To impeach George Bush is to elect Dick Cheney. It ain't going to happen. And I think that deflects attention from what the real issue is, which is going to take a hell of a lot of work rather than doing pie-in-the-sky type of stuff, and that is to register people to vote, organize politically, and defeat the guy who's in the White House.
And the polls are showing that people are actually starting to do that. I mean, there may be a positive outcome from this whole thing. Congressman Bernie Sanders, thanks so much for being with us today.
All right, my pleasure, Tom. See you next week.
Thank you. It's the Tom Hartman Radio Program. The bill that will help you escape the matrix.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
delicious. Connoisseurs love them. They're imported from France. They're certified eco-friendly. And they're reasonably priced. What am I talking about? Eco Wines. One of the best-kept secrets in America, Eco Wines from the south of France. Brought to you since 1980 by my company, the Organic Wine Company. My name is Véronique. I select these earth-friendly wines personally. They are made with organic grapes. They burst with life and flavor. Our number? Easy to remember. 1-888-ECO-WINE. Our site? Easy to find. EcoWine.com. See, if you're going to eat, eat organic. If you're going to drink, drink wisely. Drink organic. Our future depends on it. Remember our number? 1-888-ECO-WINE. And that is ECOWINE.
Pop and not-so-pop culture, democracy, and the news of the day. This is the Tom Hartman Program.
This is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm Sarah Turner. All charges have been dropped against anti-war protesters and a South Carolina longshore official arrested in the port of Oakland a year ago. American President Lines and Stevedoring Services of America were being picketed for war profiteering. Charleston longshore unionists participated in several anti-war rallies and were attacked by riot-clad police at the behest of the maritime companies.
On May 11th, by a 59-40 vote, the United States Senate rejected an amendment to a corporate tax cut bill that would have extended federal unemployment insurance benefits to a growing number of Americans out of work for 6 months or more. Assuming the one absent senator would have voted yes, the fight would have at least lived another day, but as of now, the effort's officially dead until after the November election. The missing man was Massachusetts Democrat John Kerry, who was out on the campaign trail in Kentucky. A Kerry spokesman says the vote was meaningless as GOP leaders in Congress had vowed to kill the extension by any means necessary on the grounds that it would have added more red ink to a budget already swimming in it.
The future of overtime pay protections is still threatened. On Wednesday, House Democrat George Miller offered a motion stating that any worker currently eligible for overtime pay would not lose it under new regulations announced last week by the Bush administration. But he was stopped by Republican Majority Leader Tom DeLay. The Senate approved a bill that contains two bipartisan amendments to protect employees from the overtime pay regulations. Barring congressional intervention, the changes, which would eliminate overtime pay for up to 8 million workers, will become effective in August.
British firefighters are threatening another summer strike unless last-minute provisions added by the government to a laboriously negotiated national contract are dropped. The Fire Brigades Union especially objects to changes, which could lead to reductions in benefits for overtime work and rest periods. The union's so angry it suspended its national conference this week and told delegates to go out and rally the rank and file, possibly for action beginning in July. Last June, the British military took over fire service in the country for 2 weeks as firefighters picketed.
Here's today's Dow Bob Report. A new study by a Washington-based organization, The Sentencing Project, found that the number of people serving life sentences has increased dramatically over the past decade, even as the nation's violent crime rate has fallen. Since 1992, the U.S. has seen an increase of 83% to more than 127,000 inmates. The study attributes the rise in life sentences to mandatory minimums and three strikes laws.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements? And what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
Corporate advertising is everywhere. I don't mean on radio, TV, billboards, and other commercial spaces. I also don't merely mean that it's in our public schools, yammering at us in elevators, catching us by surprise in our parks and museums, and otherwise intruding into our community spaces. I mean, it's everywhere. I know you're thinking, Hightower, there you go again with the gross exaggeration. But I'm not exaggerating. You want gross? Meet the latest advertising advance, Wismark. That's whiz as in take a whiz. Yes, we're talking about male urination and the advertising potential therein. Perhaps you think that I'm going to go on a tear about the little TV screens that many places are now putting above the urinals so you can watch an ad as you, well, whiz. But no, that would be almost civilized. I'm not talking about advertising above the urinals. I'm talking about ads in the urinals. Indeed, ads you whiz on. You know those plastic urinal screens that also deodorize? Whizmark has now accessorized them with ads. Not some bland printed ad, either. Dr. Richard Deutsch, creator of the Whizmark, has brought to us the world's first, are you ready? Interactive urinal communicator. He offers one that has a motion detector. When a gentleman steps forward to do his business, a ring of flashing lights are triggered in the screen, drawing the gentleman's startled attention to your corporate logo, safely protected in the middle of the screen by a waterproof casing. Or if that's too subtle, Whizmark offers a voice and sound model with a microprocessor that shouts ad slogans and corporate jingles at the urinator. Still not tacky enough? Got you covered. Dr. Deutsch has the patent on a radio frequency model that can read your ID card and personally greet you when you step up to the urinal. Hey, Frank, good to see you again. This is Jim Hightower saying, I don't even want to know where the ad hucksters are taking us next.
Toyota owners, roll into summer with great tire service offers at your participating Toyota dealer. And keep rolling all year long with free gas from Toyota. That's right, Toyota is giving away free gas for a year to 12 lucky winners. Just come into your participating Toyota dealer, where you get the very best competitively priced service performed by Toyota trained technicians using genuine Toyota parts. Come in today and enter the sweepstakes.
No purchase necessary. Ends May 31st, 2004. Void where prohibited. Open to legal U.S. residents 18 year old with valid driver's license only. Void in Hawaii. Official rules at Toyota.com/owners.
It's difficult enough to work your way through this jungle called life every day without having to carry an 800-pound gorilla of high-interest student loans around with you. So just do what over 300,000 people have already done and call College Loan Corporation at 1-800-2-COLLEGE. College Loan Corporation will gladly give you the advice you need while helping you look into interest rates as low as 2.63%, the lowest federal rates in 40 years. 1-800-2-COLLEGE. It's the smartest call you can make.
He's the man who uncovers corporate lies, exposes political corruption, and has a clear vision of what America could become. Here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome back, friends. Friday afternoon. The chat room speculating, who's an alien? Is this Tom Hartman guy really from the planet Theta? Yeah, you know, welcome to Scientology or something. You know, no, I'm not. But I think that that's the highest secret. When you've spent your $100,000 in your several years, you discover that 10,000 years ago, people from the planet Theta came and seeded America. And when you've got enough people who are clear, then they will come back and take all those people back to Theta with them. The wonders of salvationist religions. Speaking of which, yesterday we had on the fellow who runs the RaptureReady.com website. Informing people, just giving people a little heads up as to what George Bush and John Ashcroft really believe, you know, how important it is that we have an all-out war in the Middle East in order to advance their religious agenda. And I just got this back in email as a little note from that website. When Jesus Christ returns to earth, he'll cast the liberal media into the pit of darkness. In hell, members of the liberal media won't be harassed by us Christians, so they'll have the freedom to follow whatever news stories they choose. They will be able to cover topics like, why is hell so hot? Or, does a snowball really stand a chance down here? I'm sure the liberal media at that time will conclude that hell is a racist and homophobic place, and the burning sulfur will probably be noted as destructive to hell's environment. Yikes, notes Philip in Medford, Mass., who forward that. Yeah, yikes, for sure. Well, you know, everybody's entitled to their... not just their beliefs, but their perspectives on their beliefs. Anyway. Dear fellow Republicans, dear fellow Republicans, Gerald Plesner, wrote this op-ed piece. It was published in several different newspapers, the Pasadena Star News, the San Gabriel Valley Time Tribune, the Whittier Daily News. And it's worth sharing. I mean, this is what's happening inside the Republican Party right now. Dear fellow Republicans, I have wanted to write this letter for weeks, but I keep putting it off. I know some readers would be upset by the idea that I am a registered Republican and a fourth-generation one at that. But I just can't wait any longer because our country is on the verge of a political upheaval about which we must act right away. And then he goes through his political pedigree. His dad was a Republican who voted for Dewey and Eisenhower. His grandpa Eddie was a St. Louis Republican patronage employee, worked for Wendell Willkie. His great-grandmother Flora, a Union Army veteran, supported Teddy Roosevelt, blah-de-blah. He says, when we moved to Arcadia, California, the only way your vote counted was to use it in the Republican primary, so I registered as a Republican. And he talks about he voted for Goldwater. He says, I'm writing this letter now because the Bush administration is imploding on itself. And if it loses the coming election, it would drastically change American politics for all time. Whenever I meet someone who's a Republican, I ask the same question. Who are you going to vote for in November? You will not believe how many people, Republicans all, say something like, I'm not sure, but I sure won't vote for this guy, that being Bush. They all share one complaint, which goes something like this. Everything bad the liberals said would happen in Iraq has happened, and it's getting worse, not better. He and Cheney are living in a dream world. And this lifelong Republican goes on to say, I believe that most Americans now understand in their hearts that they have been betrayed. Even most of our Republican friends know that they were lied to, but won't say so because it's hard to admit you've been snookered. When one of our leaders lies to us even for a good cause, we are betrayed and made the fools. When that happens, our leaders' words are lowered to the ethical level of our enemies. We now know that the president, again, I'm reading from this letter by Gerald Plesner, published in three different California newspapers. Fellow Republicans, the headline is, we need a Bush alternative in November. We now know that the president and his people lied to us about nuclear weapons, about their intentions well before 9/11 to invade Iraq, about their commitment to reinvest in rebuilding Afghanistan while they illegally diverted many millions from Afghanistan to the Iraq war buildup. We also know that Vice President Cheney and Secretary of Defense Rumsfeld distorted intelligence to convince us to go to war, and that politicians in the Defense Department have given us one failure and ideological stupidity after another. They never considered history in analyzing what was needed. They disregarded and they ridiculed our military's leaders' advice and manpower estimates. The looting of Baghdad, this Republican continues, was a disaster brought on by the smarmy arrogance of Donald Rumsfeld, whose demands for a too small force and light unarmored Humvees, which are now hurriedly being replaced by heavily armored equipment, caused the deaths of too many fine American soldiers. All of these, he summarizes, our questions, all of these questions are why you and I must work to find an alternative to George W. Bush before it's too late. Election day may be too late because by then John Kerry might get his act together. Don't you agree this is all something Republicans should worry about? Interesting. From Gerald Plesner, a Southern California businessman who writes regularly on the issues of politics and culture, a registered Republican. The tide is changing. The tide is turning, my friends. It is turning. In our 10 Steps to Take Back America, which is on my website and also in our new book, We the People, number 6 is, we are part of nature. The natural world, including our air and water, is our most vital and essential commons, and therefore must be protected from those who would despoil it for short-term profit. As we poison the world, we cause cancer epidemics and degrade our own quality of life. We, through our representative government, must take immediate steps to protect the commons we share with all other life on planet Earth. And now we hear from yesterday's New York Times, this article by Kenneth Chang, globe grows darker as sunshine diminishes 10 to 37%. Defying expectations and easy explanations, hundreds of instruments around the world recorded a drop in sunshine reaching the surface of Earth as much as 10% from the late 1950s to the early 90s, or 2 to 3% a decade. In places like the United States and Europe, the drop was even steeper. In Hong Kong, sunlight decreased 37%. A professor of climate and atmospheric sciences at the University of California, San Diego, says this could be a big gorilla sitting at the dining table, and we didn't even know about it. There are many, many issues that it raises. What's causing this? Pollution particles reflecting sunlight. Satellite measurements show that the sun remains as bright as ever, but that less and less sunlight has been making it through the atmosphere to the ground. And, you know, we don't know what impact this is going to have. What's going to happen? What we do know is that by, you know, for example, George Bush and the Republicans pushing through legislation that raises the tax deduction if you buy a vehicle that weighs more than 6,000 pounds. That is basically a Hummer, a Chevy Suburban, you know, an SUV. You buy an SUV, you can deduct $100,000 from your income if you own a small business. And literally millions of Americans do. And it's just crazy. Well, that said, and the, you know, that going on, I got a conservative alert for you today. This is from conservativealerts.com. On Memorial Day weekend, a new movie is being released. By the way, be sure to see it. Showing the horrors that could hit America and the world should one disaster, major disaster, come to pass. No, we're not talking about the election of John Kerry, as horrifying a thought as that may be. We're talking about the movie The Day After Tomorrow. This movie purports to show the inevitable result of abrupt climate change caused by humanity's technological society. From global warming, massive tornadoes, and giant hailstorms to a new ice age, it's all our fault, and there's no way to stop it. Well, actually, the loony leftists at MoveOn.org, there is one way to stop it. Stop President Bush, who's leading the charge on the vast right-wing conspiracy to destroy the environment. And while we're at it, they say we need to demand that Congress pass their latest effort to push socialism and environmental clothing, the Climate Stewardship Act, a comprehensive national policy for cutting greenhouse gas emissions in the U.S. Isn't this mind-boggling? That what used to be called crony capitalism, I mean, back in the 1880s, 1890s, everybody called it just exactly what it was. Corrupt politicians and their true believers and well-paid mouthpieces in the pockets of major corporate interests, just, you know, denying reality, sticking it to the average guy. And here we have, you know, the Climate Steward Act. This is Senate Bill 139 or House Resolution 4067. National policy to cut greenhouse gas emissions. This is socialism! Come on. Socialism is when the government owns the means of production. It's when the government owns business. When you can't have a private business, you know, in the truest sense. Yeah, I realize that there are some kind of middle grounds of socialism. None of these definitions are really clean. But to suggest that we the people... Yeah, this is the whole basis of America. We the people. That when we the people decide that we don't want to get lung diseases and asthma and cancer from breathing polluted air, and that we the people say, hey, if you want to do business in America in a way that's going to cause pollution to the air, we got a few rules for you, buddy. To suggest that this is somehow socialism is, I mean, this is the big con job of the conservatives. Just, you know, pull out a word, you know, an emotionally charged word, pull out an emotionally charged word and toss it at people. They quote the Competitive Enterprise Institute. We've had people from there on they're bought and sold by big corporations. Noted in its discussion of these bills, and they all quote each other, right? The America that made these environmental wackos want us to live in, or the America that these environmental wackos want us to live in, is a poorer country in every sense of the word. People will lose thousands of dollars of income they could use to help their households travel less and even lose half and may even lose their jobs. Yes, a cleaner environment, friends, will destroy America. Well, it might harm a few billionaires. It might reduce the income of a few multimillionaires. But it seems to me if the average American is less likely to have a child with asthma, which is now at epidemic proportions in the United States, is less likely to have cancer from the carcinogens that are being spewed out by power plants and SUVs, if the average American is less likely to end up in the hospital and with big medical bills and not able to work, that would be kind of a bad, we're going to be able to travel less, we'll have less money, less income. Anyhow, is take action. In October last year, the Senate came dangerously close to passing this socialistic bill. Now groups like MoveOn.org are getting their members to demand that Congress and the President push this legislation through. So their call for action, they're asking people to show up at this movie. At this movie that's coming day after tomorrow and pass out right-wing propaganda to everybody attending the movie saying, you know, it's not real. There's no such thing as global warming. The environment's just fine. Thank you very much. Send another check to General Electric or Enron. 20 minutes after the hour, it's Tom Harpin.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is a small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Wakefield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do they know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates lock out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
Do you want to own a computer? Is your credit less than perfect? If you have a checking account and can afford a weekly payment of $29.95 for just 12 months, then you are already approved for a brand new IBM, Dell, eMachine, or other name brand computer guaranteed. You heard right. Bad credit? No credit? No problem. There is no credit check, so you will not be turned down. If you have a checking account and can afford a weekly payment of $29.95 for just 12 months, you are approved for your brand new name brand computer. Just call 800-588-0596. Freedom Frog Funding says you are approved. So give us a call today at 800-588-0596 to have your brand new computer shipped right to you. And if you act now, we'll add a $200 upgrade and a one-year warranty for free. You heard right. We will upgrade your computer and throw in a warranty absolutely free. So don't wait. Let Freedom Frog Funding send you the computer of your dreams today. Call 800-588-0596. That number is 800-588-0596.
Are you tired of progressives spending all their energy on defensive struggles where a victory simply maintains the status quo? We are too, and we're doing something about it. At ReclaimDemocracy.org, we're taking the initiative to revoke corporate power and restore citizen authority over corporations to enable genuine progress on the many issues that we all care about. Get involved. Visit us online at ReclaimDemocracy.org or call 406-582-1224.
The war they are in has been declared over by the same man who lied them into it. Their reward? Combat pay cut in half. $1.5 billion cut to their family housing. $20 billion cut to military health care. No health care for reservists.
Lancers, bring them on.
Thousands wounded, hundreds dead, and no end in sight. If we support our troops, why can't Bush? Or is this what they mean when they say an army of one?
Setting up a radio station? Wondering what software to use? Listen to the words of Mike Chandler of WOBS in Florida talking about the TuneTracker system.
I love the software. I mean, it is rock solid. It has not burped one single time. This thing has not stopped. And I tell you, I've got some software that I run at two of my other radio stations that cost tons and tons more. One I paid, I think, $1,500 for it. And then one system, which was the Arrakis DigiLink system, I paid $15,000 for it. But this rivals my $15,000. $1,000 system.
As Mike Chandler said, the Tune Tracker system is rock solid. And the price? Only $349.95 for the Pro version with traffic interface and only $149.95 for the original Tune Tracker 2. Either way, you'll have a radio automation system that performs like systems costing thousands more. For more information, go to our website, www.tunetrackersystems.com. www.tunetrackersystems.com.
Fearlessly exploring the truth of the day, here's Tom Hartman.
They seek him here, they seek him there. His clothes are loud, but never squelched. It will make or break him, so he's got to buy the best, 'cause he's a dedicated follower of fashion.
Welcome back, 25 minutes past the hour. Tom Hartman here with you. Ah, yes, I think, isn't that the Beatles? I'm not sure. 1-866-889-8894. Must have been one of those years I wasn't listening to the radio a whole lot. 1-866-889-8894. Jeff in Denver's on the line. Hey, Jeff, welcome to the program.
Hi, Tom. That was the Kinks.
That was the Kinks. Okay, thank you. Thank you. There are gaps in my musical knowledge, you know.
Regarding Plesner's letter, it's been interesting. I just saw John Dean a couple nights ago.
John Dean, the former White House, former White House attorney.
Yeah, he was just speaking here in Denver, and about 1,000 people showed up.
Wow.
And also, we had the Democratic County Convention last weekend, and I talked to people whose relatives were Republicans and such, and a woman at the John Dean meeting stood up and said it rather well. She goes, you know, which reflects what a lot of people are thinking now. She said that, I'm a Republican, but I can't vote for Bush. She goes, it's awful, but, you know, I don't see anything in Kerry either. She goes, what's a Republican to do? There are a lot of desperate Republicans out there, and who just, Kerry's dropping the ball. He's got people who want to vote for him, but they don't feel they can.
Well, see, okay, and now what you're pointing out is how he's getting it from both sides. He's got progressives saying, Kerry, get out there and be more aggressive. Talk about national health care. Talk about, you know, and you know, get out of Iraq tomorrow. Start sounding more like Dennis Kucinich. And then you've got, you know, the reality that you just described as well. I mean, these are both realities. The reality you described just as well, that there's a lot of Republicans who, if even given the slimmest reason, would vote for John Kerry. You know, if they really viewed him as the centrist that George Bush presented himself to us as in 2000, that you know, they may go for him. And frankly, I think that his campaign strategy right now, you know, is strength in a time of change is Bush's. Whatever his slogan is, you know, basically a lifetime of service and strength is Kerry's new slogan. And, well, you know, I think he's appealing to the middle. I think he's pitching to those folks. And I have a feeling, Jeff, I may be wrong, but I have a feeling that he's just going to blow this thing out, that this is going to be, you know, George Bush is just going to get creamed. My concern is that the cons have been so successful in their reapportioning, and they've added so many safe Republican seats to the House of Representatives by gerrymandering all these districts, that progressives, liberals, and Democrats, and you know, knowing that they're not all the same, but nonetheless, folks to the left of Attila the Hun are never going to get the House and Senate, or at least the House back, and the House is where all the spending appropriations have to begin. And so I think that we need to, not only do we need to be active about getting George Bush up, but we need to be active at the congressional level. I mean, that's really important.
In particular, I mean, all we have to do is look back and see what one senatorial seat, how it made a difference. James Jeffords.
Yeah, yeah.
He put a wrench in the whole process for 2 years.
Yeah, or look what happened when the Republicans, you know, when in the second year of the Clinton administration, the off-year election, and Clinton lost the House to the Republicans. And boom, I mean, that was it. He was rendered incapable of anything by and large, and, you know, other than answering their charges.
And if you consider that most elections are won with 15 to 18% of the eligible voters voting for the winning side. And the difference,
You know, the good news,
only like 2 to 3% as far as the winner and loser. All we have to do in each congressional district is get like 5 people per precinct motivated, and we'll probably switch the Congress to the other side.
Yeah, I mean, that's the good news. People say, oh, nobody votes. You know, it's a terrible thing. But, you know, the good news is, okay, cool, nobody votes. Let's us vote. You know, let's get out there. We can take this thing over. We can take it back. We can make a change in America. I know that you're doing that, Jeff. I'm working on that. I know a lot of our listeners are, and I think it's just great. Jeff, thanks for the call. Thanks for the inspiration. Keep up the great work.
Take care. Bye.
You too. It's the Tom Hartman Radio Program, 29 minutes past the hour. I got some really great news for you right after this break. Stick around.
A must read, The Edison Gene, ADHD and the Gift of the Hunter Child by Tom Hartman, best-selling author of Attention Deficit Disorder, A Different Perception. Ed Halliwell, a nationally recognized expert on ADD, said this about The Edison Gene.
Tom Hartman demonstrates that ADHD can be associated with creativity, high achievement, and a most successful adaptive style.
The Edison Gene, now available in bookstores everywhere.
Pop and not-so-pop culture, democracy, and the news of the day. This is the Tom Hartman Program.
This is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm Sarah Turner. All charges have been dropped against anti-war protesters and a South Carolina longshore official arrested in the port of Oakland a year ago. American President Lines and Stevedoring Services of America were being picketed for war profiteering. Charleston longshore unionists participated in several anti-war rallies and were attacked by riot-clad police at the behest of the maritime companies.
On May 11th, by a 59-40 vote, the United States Senate rejected an amendment to a corporate tax cut bill that would have extended federal unemployment insurance benefits to a growing number of Americans out of work for 6 months or more. Assuming the one absent senator would have voted yes, the fight would have at least lived another day, but as of now, the effort's officially dead until after the November election. The missing man was Massachusetts Democrat John Kerry, who was out on the campaign trail in Kentucky. A Kerry spokesman says the vote was meaningless as GOP leaders in Congress had vowed to kill the extension by any means necessary on the grounds that it would have added more red ink to a budget already swimming in it.
The future of overtime pay protections is still threatened. On Wednesday, House Democrat George Miller offered a motion stating that any worker currently eligible for overtime pay would not lose it under new regulations announced last week by the Bush administration. But he was stopped by Republican Majority Leader Tom DeLay. The Senate approved a bill that contains 2 bipartisan amendments to protect employees from the overtime pay regulations. Barring congressional intervention, the changes, which would eliminate overtime pay for up to 8 million workers, will become effective in August.
British firefighters are threatening another summer strike unless last-minute provisions added by the government to a laboriously negotiated national contract are dropped. The fire brigades union especially objects to changes which could lead to reductions in benefits for overtime work and rest periods. The union's so angry it suspended its national conference this week and told delegates to go out and rally the rank and file, possibly for action beginning in July. Last June, the British military took over fire service in the country for 2 weeks as firefighters picketed.
Here's today's Dow Bob Report. A new study by a Washington-based organization, The Sentencing Project, found that the number of people serving life sentences has increased dramatically over the past decade, even as the nation's violent crime rate has fallen. Since 1992, the U.S. has seen an increase of 83% to more than 127,000 inmates. The study attributes the rise in life sentences to mandatory minimums and 3 strikes laws.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Bringing democracy to the United States of America, here's Tom Hartman.
27 minutes before the hour. Boy, have I got a story for you. This is really good news. Let me share it with you right after I take a call here. Our number is 1-866-889-8894. Kevin in Tampa has been patiently waiting. Hey, Kevin, welcome to the Tom Hartman program. What's up?
Hi, Tom. How you doing today?
I am great, but I'll get better. How about you?
Same thing.
Cool. What's up?
Listen, first, I wanted to talk about what you were just talking about to that previous caller about. You said you had a feeling about Kerry blowing it out eventually.
Yeah.
First, though, I did want to mention to you.
I think it's Kerry's to lose. That was my point.
Yeah, and I'm going to get to that in a second because that's what John Zogby says.
Yeah.
You know, because we've talked before, you know my son is in Baghdad in the reserves.
That's right.
Okay. He called the other day. He told me that his reserve unit, which is a couple hundred people, I'm not sure exactly how many, 200, 300,
mm-hmm.
Bush has zero votes.
Zero?
Zero.
Yeah.
And I met several of these guys. I met his direct sergeant.
Yeah.
You know, they have a weekend before they leave. And his direct sergeant said to me, he said, well, come November, their bosses are going to speak.
Yeah. Well, here's the question. Are these guys going to vote for Kerry, or are they going to just not vote?
No, they're going to vote for Kerry.
Yeah.
And that's he said also they had a, you know, this thing that Rumsfeld did yesterday in Baghdad.
Yeah, I'd
like to know how they handpicked those guys, because Tom told me that him and the guys in his barracks, they chipped in and bought a satellite dish and a TV.
Right.
And they were watching Rumsfeld before the Senate last week.
Right.
They were jeering him.
Oh, jeez. Well, listen, Kevin, here are some of the questions that were asked of Rumsfeld yesterday by people like your son, you know, the soldiers.
Yeah.
This is from an article in the Washington Post by Fred Barbish. One soldier asked when they would receive improved vests and better armor for the Humvees. It's those roadside bombs, he said. We've lost some soldiers due to them. Rumsfeld didn't have much of an answer for that. Another asked whether it was true that the military would not pay their full airfare back home. No, they won't. Yet another wanted to know why his military medical coverage wouldn't handle physical therapy for his handicapped child. When, if ever, would the United Nations send some troops, and where would they come from? Someone else asked. And Mr. Secretary, said a member of the audience, you have said you'd like to reduce the number of troops in Iraq. Instead, more troops are being sent. Rumsfeld smiled at this woman and said, you must be a journalist. You know, just tried to turn it into a joke, didn't answer it. It goes on. Rumsfeld, who came to Baghdad after being grilled before two congressional committees about prisoner abuse, was good-natured throughout, even though he was, by his own admission, clueless. Here's an exchange. Questioner, sir, there are many DOD civilians over here in the theater, and many of us are unarmed and many times we're placed in harm's way in convoys and have no means to protect ourselves. And I know there's been many memos and letters I've seen floating around saying it's the policy to arm civilians if they need to be armed if they're in harm's way, but there seems to be resistance to actually providing arms to us. I was wondering what the current policy is on that. Rumsfeld replies, I could admit I don't know what the current policy is here, or I could turn around and ask General Rick Sanchez to come over here. Then he'll say that he doesn't know. Rumsfeld then called on Sanchez for an answer, who said he didn't know. I mean, it's like a bad, you know, if it wasn't for the fact that people are dying and being wounded and exposed to depleted uranium and working their butts off for virtually nothing in a war that was originally designed to seize oil so that we could have more Hummers for, you know, more gas for Arnold's Hummer and turn George W. into a war president that he could ride to victory in the White House, that, you know, he wanted to have a longer war than his dad had. I mean, it would be funny if it wasn't for the tragedy of the reality of it.
Yeah.
It really
would. Well, you know, those weren't the soldiers that they put on TV when they showed him yesterday.
Oh.
But anyway, the real reason, you talked about you had a feeling that Kerry might blow it open. I've had that feeling for a while. And then I have a son who's an attorney in Atlanta, and he sent me an article the other day.
Mm-hmm.
And it's from Zogby, from John Zogby, Zogby.com. And it's from May 10th. Anybody wants to look it up?
Yeah, I read it on the air, actually, Kevin, where Zogby said this election is, I've made my living bungee jumping on predictions, but usually I'm right. And he said this election is going to go to Kerry unless he blows it.
Yeah, he says it's Kerry's, the title is Kerry's to lose. And the thing that got me is in the red states, the famous red states,
mm-hmm.
Bush is leading by 10 points on the average.
Yeah.
In the blue states, Kerry's leading by 17.
Yeah, Bush's support in those states that he thought were solid is very weak. It's very weak. Kevin, yeah. Thanks for the call. I got to move along.
Okay.
Appreciate you calling in, and good luck to your son. He's in our prayers and our well wishes. Yeah, thank you. 21 minutes before the hour, 1-866-889-8894. Our number, Rick in Grand Rapids, Michigan on the line. Hey, Rick, what's up?
Hi, Tom. How you doing?
I'm great.
Good. Hey, I just want to say that I agree with Senator Sanders as far as trying to get rid of the Cowardly Lion through impeaching him and replacing him with a Tin Man.
Yeah.
I think that's the wrong way to go.
Well, it's a diversion of our energies from what we really should be doing, which is building grassroots, progressive, politically active movements.
Exactly. And there's a lot of more Democrats coming out that out on the scene now than I've seen in a very long time.
Yeah.
And that's a good thing. And also, as far as the Catholic Church, you know, it's funny how they want to sit there and pound politicians that are against, that are for abortion, and use the Pope as the prime example. But when it comes to executing prisoners or condemning this war, it doesn't seem like the conservatives want to listen on that part.
Well, this Rick, is the interesting conundrum, and it's where I want to speak in defense of the Catholic Church. Now, I'm not a Catholic, but the Catholic Church itself, as an institution, has not come out and said that politicians who are in favor of abortion rights for women should not receive communion, nor has it come out and said that politicians who execute prisoners should not receive communion, or the politicians who are in favor of capital punishment. It's condemned all those things. But what's happened is you've got a couple of right-wing cranks within the institution of the American Catholic Church, a couple of, a bishop here, an archbishop there, a few priests here and there, and they speak up and say, well, I would never give communion to John Kerry. After all, he's pro-abortion. They of course, don't mention the fact that if George W. Bush had decided to convert to Catholicism, they wouldn't give him communion for executing people or whatever. I mean, it's just the right-wing media, the particularly the Fox and the faux news and all the right-wing talk machine, they pick this stuff up and they flog it and flog it and flog it until it finally makes the CBS Evening News, and it's just...
Yeah, but there's a lot of sheep that listen to that stuff, the biggest problem.
Yeah, I agree, but it's not the Catholic Church. It's a few cranks in it. Just any more than what's going on in Iraq right now is America. You know, it's a right-wing cabal that has taken over, So anyhow,
keep up the good work, buddy.
I'll do it. Thank you, Rick, and thanks for listening there on WTKG in Grand Rapids. 18 minutes before the hour, 1-866-889-8894. I'm going to get to that story in just a second. First, let's take this call from Raymond in Cement City, Michigan. Hey, Raymond, what's up?
Good afternoon, Tom. Hey, listen, I just want to follow up on a couple calls back. Somebody talking about the Republicans just not having a hard time getting out to vote for Kerry. Of course, if they stay home, that's helpful. But I mean, it gets back to a point I was trying to drive home in the past, is that the important consideration when we were looking at who should be the candidate is who could best win. And this is where I think that I found that a lot of Republicans they would vote for Clark in a heartbeat. And I'm wondering if even though he's not the candidate at this point, I wonder if that would help if he is chosen as the vice presidential candidate, because he might give them more satisfaction in terms of national security and that kind of thing. I don't even know if Clark at this point would consider it.
He's on the short list. He's on the short list for vice president right now.
Right.
And I think that if Kerry does not pick Clark as vice president, he would be wise to essentially pre-announce that Clark is going to play a prominent role in his administration if he's elected. Because I agree.
I don't know where it would be. He can't be Secretary of Defense. Maybe
why not?
National Security. Because I think you have to be out of the military for 10 years.
Oh, really? There's a restriction.
Yeah, double-check that. That's my understanding. You have to be out of the military for 10 years before you could be Secretary.
Jeez, I guess Cheney would never have to worry about that. He got his draft deferment. Rush Limbaugh, he had a pimple on his butt. That got him out of the war. Paul Wolfowitz, Richard Pearl, Bill O'Reilly, Tom DeLay, Denny Hastert. I guess all of them qualify because they never served in the military.
Aren't they so fortunate that they had all those minorities that rushed in and took all those military positions so they couldn't sign up.
Yeah, who was it who said that? Wasn't it? Was it? It was the old Senate leader, the racist guy who got bumped.
There was a couple of them. There was a couple of them that were in on that little comment.
Yeah, there was no room for me because there was no room for me because it was all those minorities who were. Indeed, Raymond. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it.
I just think that I just want to see Clark in there. He's probably the sharpest tool we have in the shed out there.
Yeah, well, I'm sure that if John Kerry's elected, he'll have some role to play. I think that you can easily bet on that. And if Kerry's tacticians are wise, they will bring him in somehow, somewhere, some way.
Real quick comment. I know you want to move on, but I've been telling people that this election is not so much about, once we elect Kerry, then it's all over. I'm trying to tell people the choice is if Bush wins, then we got 30 years of political darkness. If Kerry wins, we have an opportunity to build a populist party.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's really it. That's the bottom line. Thanks a lot, Raymond. I appreciate it. Good to hear from you. Okay, here's the good news. I got to tell you, this is so cool. This is, I guess I'm giving my age, but it's Berkeley, California. Well, yeah, but it's not. This has not only happened in Berkeley. This is happening in cities all across the United States. Porter Township, Pennsylvania. It's happening all over the place. The most recent one was Berkeley. Berkeley, California, on May 3rd, passed a resolution, or it was passed by a commission of the city council. Suggesting that I'll share a little bits of it. Whereas the United States and California constitutions, all sovereignly residents of we the people all, such that people hold all inherent political power and government derives its power from the consent of the governed. Government is created by the people and for our health, safety, and welfare. Our system of government is a representative democracy. These are the wherefores, right? Or the therefores. We the people are entitled to inalienable constitutional rights to wield against oppressive government regulation. Now, what might that be? Here, now we get to it. Whereas corporation is not mentioned in the United States Constitution, our founders did not grant corporations rights. Rights were reserved for natural people. Whereas with corporate personhood and First Amendment rights, corporations dominate the political process and interfere with citizens' control over our government. By virtue of their enormous wealth, corporations wield much more influence over our government and over the media than do we, the people. Whereas this corporate influence is transforming our government from one that is by and for the people to one that is by and for corporate interests. Corporate influence over our government denies citizens our rights to govern through a representative democracy and subjects us to minority rule by the wealthy few. And corporate influence has made it difficult to maintain a living wage, a clean environment, affordable health care, and quality education for all. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Council of the City of Berkeley supports amending the United States and California constitutions to declare that corporations are not granted the protections or rights of persons, and supports amending the United States and California constitutions to declare that the expenditure of corporate money is not a form of constitutionally protected speech. Now, in that last part, they're talking about rolling back the Supreme Court decision. The state of Massachusetts, what was his name? I'm drawing a blank on it. But anyhow, the Supreme Court decision back in 1986 that said essentially that the money was a form of speech and that corporate speech was protected under the United States Constitution, rolling that back, and even larger than that, saying, hey, when this country was founded, when the United States of America started, we were absolutely unambiguously, we knew, read the founders, go back. I'm just finishing up Gore Vidal's new book about inventing democracy. It's brilliant. But read any of the histories, with the possible exception of some of the kind of right-wing, there's John Adams histories, but read any of the good histories of the founding of this country, and you find that the founders got it. That the three historic tyrannies, kingdoms, popes, and theocrats, and rule by the rich, also known as feudalism, were not the way to go in America. That this is just that having the wealthy and powerful few hold rights and then grant the rest of us privileges. Well, you can have health care if you come to work for this corporation. That's the only way you're going to get it, though. I mean, isn't that tyranny? Well, you can have free speech if you have enough money to buy a newspaper. You can have access to your elected representatives if you become a Bush pioneer or a ranger. Come on, friends. These are not the ideals. Thomas Jefferson, every it was either Thursday or Friday, every one day a week, Thomas Jefferson used to answer the front door of the White House himself and welcome people in to talk with him about whatever they wanted. In his autobiography, he complained about how tiring it would get. And, you know, sometimes the same people would show up with the same complaints. But he listened carefully to what everybody said, and he did what he could. Try and do that today. You can't even get into the White House now. Louise and I were in Washington, D.C. a few months ago. We wanted to just walk through Congress. We had been meeting with Bernie, actually, and a couple of other members of Congress. And we wanted to walk through the United States Capitol building. The Capitol Police wouldn't let us. I thought this was our building. No, I'm sorry. We are all living in fear and terror now. And it's enormously beneficial to corporations. So anyhow, the bottom line of this rant is it's time to roll back the idea that corporations should... Boston versus Bilotti was the case I was trying to think of. Is that it's time to roll back the idea that corporations have rights and return them to privileges so that we, the people, can once again take back our government and nation. Tom Hartman here with you. Stay tuned.
Are you frustrated by your constant inability to lose weight? Are you looking for a natural, clinically proven weight loss breakthrough? Introducing CarboBlocker. Unlike anything else on the market, CarboBlocker is backed by clinical research that proves it effectively helps block the fattening effects of carbs without stimulants. Your body will think you're eating a low-carb diet even when you're not. The results are simply amazing. If you want to maintain the weight loss effects of low-carb dieting for the long run, if you're tired of clothes that are too tight and you want to look fit and sexy, then CarboBlocker is for you. It's clinically effective. Formula is safe, natural, and stimulant-free. And as a special introductory offer, when you order two bottles of Carbo Blocker, you'll get two bottles of Appetite Blocker absolutely free. Call in the next 10 minutes, and you'll also receive two free books, Lose Fat Now and the Low Carb Cookbook, a $100 value, absolutely free. So call now, 1-800-743-5704. Guaranteed to work or your money back, so call now, 1-800-743-5704. That's 1-800-743-5704.
It is one of the most powerful books you'll ever read, full of the wisdom of ancient cultures and the directed hope of modern thinkers. The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight, The Fate of the World and What We Can Do Before It's Too Late by Tom Hartman. Discover how we're made of sunlight and what this has to do with the impact of fossil fuels on civilization. Read about the coming new ice age and what must be done soon. Understand how ancient cultures valued community and cooperation and what we can learn from them. Get in touch with the secret of enough, the meaning of wealth, and the wealth of security. The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight helps us understand and heal our relationship to the world, to each other, and to our natural resources. We have much to learn and even more to remember. Here is your guide, The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight, The Fate of the World and What We Can Do Before It's Too Late by Tom Hartman, in bookstores everywhere.
Are you or a loved one making too many trips to the bathroom? Listen closely because you're not alone. Over 30 million men suffer from an enlarged prostate. That's why if you make frequent trips to the bathroom, have urgency, hesitancy, or a diminished sex drive, then Super Prostate Formula is for you. It was designed by nationally recognized physician Dr. Michael Toplitzky. The results with his patients have been amazing. Reclaim control now and join the thousands of satisfied customers who have had incredible results with Super Prostate Formula. When you order two bottles of Dr. Toplitzky's Super Prostate Formula, you'll also get two bottles of his Super Libido Formula, an all-natural alternative to Viagra to enhance sexual vitality and performance, plus his book, Complete Guide to Prostate Health, and his newsletter, a total $100 value free as your gift. Guaranteed or your money back. If you're not completely satisfied, return it for a full refund and keep his Libido Formula book and newsletter free as your gift. Not available in stores? Call now. 800-452-0978. 800-452-0978. That's 800-452-0978.
A move is underway to save wild spaces on the high seas. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. Over the last century, people have created many parks and reserves to protect scenic areas and the wildlife living in them. But the great majority of those areas are on land. Now many who care about the ocean are calling for more marine protected areas, especially the creation of the first protected areas on the high seas. Sylvia Earle is an oceanographer and an explorer in residence at the National Geographic Society. She says countries around the world have established thousands of national parks and other reserves on the continents, but she says we're lagging behind when it comes to the oceans.
Close to 12% of the land has some form of protection as a park or reserve. In the ocean, it's a fraction of 1%.
Earle says the marine sanctuaries that do exist are mainly in coastal waters. There are no protected wild spaces in the deep ocean. Earle says some parts of the high seas are especially in need of protection. These include underwater mountains, deep sea trenches, and cold water coral reefs. These areas are extremely rich in biodiversity, and the waters above them are key feeding areas for marine mammals, seabirds, and fish. Earle says commercial fishing, oil exploration, and mining in these areas can have a serious impact on ocean wildlife.
If all of the ocean is a source of extraction, there would not be a place for these creatures to reproduce, to feed, to do what it takes to make more of them.
The U.S. National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration is working with other environmental agencies from around the world to develop a plan for high seas conservation. They hope to establish the first 5 protected areas on the high seas by the year 2008. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
Listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Benedict at large in our chat room says, "Where are we going and why am I in this handbasket?" I love it. If you haven't visited our chat room, you're really missing out on a piece of the program. Welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you 4 minutes before the hour. You know, I think a lot of people don't realize, as was pointed out today by Jackie Combs in the Washington Wire column in the Wall Street Journal, that CBS delayed the broadcast of those prisoner abuse photos by 2 weeks at the request of the Pentagon. Rumsfeld said, please don't put those pictures on the air. And for 2 weeks, they held off CBS. Finally, CBS said, hey, you guys have not convinced us. We're not going to go along with it. We're going to air these things. And then, Rumsfeld has the, I'm not going to call it audacity, stupidity to go on national television and say, well, I didn't realize this is a big deal until I saw those pictures on television. I mean, it's got to be a lie. I mean, not only, of course, did they have Taguba's report from months ago, not only did they have the Red Cross report from a year ago, but for 2 weeks they put off CBS. They knew what was going on. And so here in the Wall Street Journal, even party allies are dumbfounded. They lament that the White House damage control suffered, damage control suffered and its reputation. Bad sentence. Anyhow, and its reputation for managing news. Communication Chief Dan Bartlett, strategist Carl Rove, and Karen Hughes defer queries to Press Secretary McClellan, who in turn defers many questions to the Pentagon. And then they note in italics, Bush aides enlist business lobbies to help shift the focus to the growing economy. Let's change the subject, folks! Please, quickly, as much as possible, we need to change the subject. We need to get away from this thing about, we knew what was going on and we didn't stop. See, really what happened in Iraq was that the prisons of Texas, and this is well documented. I read any of James Lee Burke's early books. This is well documented. The mentality of the Texas prisons was simply transferred to the mentality of the prisons in Abu Ghraib. And now we see the results. And the rest of the world is looking at it going, whoa, we thought America was better than that. Well, America can be better than that, and we will again once we throw these right-wing cranks out of office. Time to bring rationality, common sense back to this liberal democracy.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
The Founding Fathers thought they'd stop corporations from ever overthrowing elected government. Little did they know that 200 years later, democracy would be stolen and twisted in the name of so-called conservative values. Hi, this is Tom Hartman. The founders of America fought the Revolutionary War against the excessive corporate power of the East India Company, and presidents from Jefferson to Eisenhower warned us that extremely big businesses could destroy democracy. You'll find this extraordinary American story in my book, Unequal Protection: The Rise of Corporate Dominance and the Theft of Human Rights. It starts with the Boston Tea Party and ends with the rampant corruption of the Bush administration. It tells the dramatic story of how corporations hijacked the Bill of Rights, setting the stage for the CEO takeover of America. And it shows how we can take America back and tells the stories of Americans from Pennsylvania to California who are doing just that right now.
Unequal Protection is available in bookstores nationwide. And you can read several chapters online at unequalprotection.com. That's Unequal Protection by Tom Hart.
Pop and not so pop culture, democracy, and the news of the day. This is the Tom Hartman Program.
This is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm Sarah Turner. All charges have been dropped against anti-war protesters and a South Carolina longshore official arrested in the port of Oakland a year ago. American President Lines and Stevedoring Services of America were being picketed for war profiteering. Charleston longshore unionists participated in several anti-war rallies and were attacked by riot-clad police at the behest of the maritime companies.
On May 11th, by a 59-40 vote, the United States Senate rejected an amendment to a corporate tax cut bill that would have extended federal unemployment insurance benefits to a growing number of Americans out of work for 6 months or more. Assuming the one absent senator would have voted yes, the fight would have at least lived another day, but as of now, the effort's officially dead until after the November election. The missing man was Massachusetts Democrat John Kerry, who was out on the campaign trail in Kentucky. A Kerry spokesman says the vote was meaningless as GOP leaders in Congress had vowed to kill the extension by any means necessary on the grounds that it would have added more red ink to a budget already swimming in it.
The future of overtime pay protections is still threatened. On Wednesday, House Democrat George Miller offered a motion stating that any worker currently eligible for overtime pay would not lose it under new regulations announced last week by the Bush administration. But he was stopped by Republican Majority Leader Tom DeLay. The Senate approved a bill that contains two bipartisan amendments to protect employees from the overtime pay regulations. Barring congressional intervention, the changes, which would eliminate overtime pay for up to 8 million workers, will become effective in August.
British firefighters are threatening another summer strike unless last-minute provisions added by the government to a laboriously negotiated national contract are dropped. The Fire Brigades Union especially objects to changes, which could lead to reductions in benefits for overtime work and rest periods. The union's so angry it suspended its national conference this week and told delegates to go out and rally the rank and file, possibly for action beginning in July. Last June, the British military took over fire service in the country for 2 weeks as firefighters picketed.
Here's today's Dow Bob Report. A new study by a Washington-based organization, The Sentencing Project, found that the number of people serving life sentences has increased dramatically over the past decade, even as the nation's violent crime rate has fallen. Since 1992, the U.S. has seen an increase of 83% to more than 127,000 inmates. The study attributes the rise in life sentences to mandatory minimums and three strikes laws.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements? And what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
The powers that be, both political and corporate, are expert at fooling themselves while mistakenly thinking that they're also fooling us. The latest culprits in this fool's game are the barons of cable television. Lobbyists for such outfits as Time Warner, Cablevision, and Cox rammed a deregulation law through Congress in 1997 that allows them to set their own rates. Trust us, they said at the time, promising that the elixir of unregulated competition would magically cause our monthly cable charges to fall. Like rubes at their first medicine show, Congress swallowed this tonic of lies, and now you and I are stuck with an unregulated cable TV monopoly in each of our towns that, far from lowering our rates, has jacked up our monthly bills by 40% in just 6 years. Well, yes, say the cable giants, but we now give you more channels than before. Who do they think they're fooling? Yes, we get more channels, but they show the same old junk, including repeats of repeats and dozens of channels we never requested and never watch. Indeed, we pay for about 63 channels, but mostly watch about 8. Well, yes, say the giants again, still believing they're fooling us, but the fees we pay for programming are up too, so we're being forced to raise our rates. Hey, Flim Flam Man, in many cases, you are the programmer. For example, Time Warner owns CNN, TBS, TNT, Cartoon Network, and many others, so it's paying itself for the higher program costs. Besides, the cost of all the programs you get on cable is only about $7 of your monthly cable bill, which now averages nearly $37. Well, yes, say the giants, trying one more trick on us, but we need higher rates to survive. Survive? Your profit margins are running above 30%, about 3 times the average of other industries. This is Jim Hightower saying, to fight this tomfoolery, call Consumers Union, 202-462-6262.
It's difficult enough to work your way through this jungle called life every day without having to carry an 800-pound gorilla of high-interest student loans around with you. So just do what over 300,000 people have already done and call College Loan Corporation at 1-800-2-COLLEGE. College Loan Corporation will gladly give you the advice you need while helping you look into interest rates as low as 2.63%, the lowest federal rates in 40 years. 1-800-2-COLLEGE. It's the smartest call you can make.
Toyota owners, tired of paying high gas prices? Well, how about paying nothing? That's right. Toyota is giving away free gas for a year to 12 lucky winners. Plus, 1,000 more will win $50 fill-ups. Just come into your participating Toyota dealer to enter the sweepstakes. You'll get the very best competitively priced service performed by Toyota-trained technicians using genuine Toyota parts. Come in today and ask about our May tire and service offers.
No purchase necessary. Ends May 31st, 2004. Void or prohibited. Open to legal U.S. residents 18 or older with valid driver's license only. Void in Hawaii. Official rules at Toyota.com.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome back, friends. 7 minutes past the hour. Tom Hartman here with you, broadcasting live coast to coast. Boy, I'm at a loss for words here. I was going to say the right-wing cranks, but this is... You know, I as many of you know, I lived a year in Germany. I speak somewhat semi-functional German and have hung out in that country a lot over the last 30 years. And I've also read Mein Kampf, the, you know, Hitler's tome that he wrote while he was in prison that Rudolf Hess helped him write. And in Mein Kampf, Hitler basically, I mean, he lays this thing out. You can find a million copies of it online. You don't have to buy it. And actually, you know, people say, oh, don't read that. I think people should read it because you get an insight into the mindless hatred against a particular group of people, against a particular ethnic group that was being promoted. Hitler, in Mein Kampf, goes on at length, repeatedly, chapter after chapter after chapter, about how Jews are subhumans, how they should be exterminated, they should be subject. Actually, he never uses the word exterminated. They should be subject to the toughest justice possible. That they should be excised from our society. We need to show them. We need to give them a lesson. We need to put them in their place. How dare they, you know, think that they, you know, blah de blah de blah de blah de blah. Right? Hitler, Mein Kampf. And that's his rap. And the tragic thing is that it was said often enough and loud enough that a few million Germans began to believe it. And from there it's spread. This is a toxic thought virus. A sickness. A mental illness. A disease. To dehumanize other people. And we're seeing the beginnings of it now among the Reich Wing in America. Right now. As I speak, you've got right-wingers out there ignoring the fact that 90% of the people in the Abu Ghraib prison were innocent of anything. They were just, you know, caught up in sweeps who are essentially saying, these guys are subhuman, they shouldn't have rights, we're not a nation of rights, we're not a nation of laws, we're not an example, a shining city on the hill for the world to look at. No, these guys are saying, they are suggesting that America should become like Germany was in the 1930s, the late 30s and early 40s. For example, 6 million people, day before yesterday, 3 days ago, listened to nationally syndicated talk show host Michael Savage share this bit of wisdom with the American people.
And I think there should be no mercy shown to these subhumans.
Subhumans. That's what Hitler called
them. I believe
that
1,000 of them should be killed tomorrow.
This is, you know, Hitler referred to Jews as the Untermenschen, literally subhumans. I mean, it literally means subhumans. Let's see.
And I think there should be no mercy shown to these subhumans. I believe that 1,000 of them should be killed tomorrow. I think 1,000 of them held in the Iraqi prison should be given a 24-hour trial and executed. I think they need to be shown that we are not going to roll over to them. It won't happen. It won't happen because of the CBS communists. It won't happen because of the CNN traitors. It won't happen because of the MSNBC empty heads. And we, the people, are the ones who are going to suffer today.
This, 6 million Americans listening to this and nodding their heads. I mean, do you get what kind of a threat this is to a free world, a free nation, to the ideals that the founders fought and died for? Here's another very quick clip from that show. Michael Savage. His real name is Michael Wiener, but he changed it from Wiener to Savage because that's, you know, so his stage name is Michael Savage.
Instead of putting joysticks, I would like to have seen dynamite put in their orifices and they should be dropped from airplanes. How's that? You like that one?
This is actually something that Saddam did. By the way, there was one documented case of him dropping the children of somebody he was interrogating, a child, from an airplane to her death in order to extract a confession. And now this guy is saying, yeah, this is what we should be doing too. Yes. Yes. We are just like Saddam, aren't we?
Go call somebody that you want to report me to, see if I care. They should put dynamite in their behinds and drop them from 35,000 feet, the whole pack of scum out of that jail. Thank you. CBS. Thank you, New Yorker.
His thank you is suggesting that we will now not be able to continue to deal with these people in the appropriate fashion because the news media in the United States, how dare they, those communists, told the truth.
Thank you, CBS. Thank you, New Yorker. Thank you, Carl Levin. Thank you, Ted Kennedy. Thank you, Hillary Clinton. I'm sure that Mr. Berg's parents appreciate what you've done for them.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, you know, I actually, for a few minutes there, thought, I'm not even going to run this thing because it is so sick and twisted. But the reality is that we have to know what's going on. You have to know what's going on in the United States. We just can't pretend this isn't there. We can't pretend that it's not happening. Alan Greenspan, I have to move along. I'm sorry. This is just so toxic. I feel dirty now. And I don't mean that, by the way, and let me just say this. I don't mean that as an attack on Michael Wiener as much as on the illness, the mental illness that those kinds of words reflect. It's tragic that this sort of thing passes for discourse in the United States. It's tragic. 15 minutes past the hour. Wall Street wonders why Greenspan hasn't been reappointed. This is interesting. George Bush knows that if Alan Greenspan raises interest rates, and Greenspan for better than a half a year now has been itching. Interest rates are at an all-time low. They cranked them down and cranked them down and cranked them down to levels that we haven't seen since just after World War II. The reason, of course, being to frantically try to undo the damage to this economy that the Bush administration did with their so-called tax cuts, their borrowing from our grandchildren and giving the money to their rich campaign donors, tax deferrals, tax movements, horizontal movements of taxes. You know, now the average person is paying more in property taxes, more in city taxes, more for their services. And the average wealthy, well, you know. Anyhow, so the question is, Bush did this incredible damage to the economy with these two so-called tax breaks, year after year, three of them actually, and threw us into recession. I realize, you know, we documented this last week on the program how, you know, all the right-wing cranks are out there going, you know, the cons are out there saying, oh, no, George Bush inherited a recession. Sorry, according to the Republican reporting agency, the recession started 3 months into the Bush administration when George Bush started talking about tax breaks. And everybody realized he was talking about deficit spending. And everybody realized what that was going to mean, and the economy went in the tank. And this was in April, March and April of 2001, long before 9/11. And so Bush turns to Greenspan, you know, bail me out. We got, you know, the economy's going down in flames. It's like an airplane that's going down with only one wing. What are we going to do? And Greenspan says, oh, don't worry, George, I'll take care of it. And he lowers interest rates, lowers them a half a point, then lowers them another half a point, then lowers them another half a point, then another half a point, then all the way down to 1%. The federal fund rate, the rate at which banks borrow from each other and, you know, like that. And to whatever extent this economy hasn't fallen off the edge of the earth, as it rightly should have given Bush's policies, it's because Greenspan has been just flooding us with cheap money. And as a result, people are going out and refinancing their homes, taking equity out of their homes, which is driving up the housing market. It's a false bubble. And they're going deeper and deeper into debt because debt is cheap now. Money is cheap, and they're spending that money, and that has maintained some semblance of an economy, although we all know that it's, you know, it's, I just look around you. In the midst of this, you've got Rodrigo Rato. I don't know, you ever heard of this guy, Rodrigo Rato or Rato? Well, you will. He's the next head of the International Monetary Fund. He's going to become head of the IMF later this year. On Tuesday of this week, he said that the United States must gain control of its soaring budget deficits. The IMF is telling us we got to get control of this stuff. He's the former finance minister of Spain, by the way. He's going to take over in early June as the head of the 184-nation lending institution. The head of the International Monetary Fund saying to us, look out, the United States is on the edge. So now it's so obvious that if we're not going to have both an incredible crash and hyperinflation as we had last under the tail end of the Nixon administration, that Greenspan has to raise interest rates. But he hasn't. Why not? Well, some say he hasn't raised interest rates because he knows that it'll hurt George Bush. Well, the Wall Street Journal today points out there might be something more to that. Wall Street wonders why Greenspan hasn't been reappointed. But that mystifies White House. It stands by Bush's statement a year ago, Still, investors speculate that George Bush is stalling on Greenspan to, quote, lean on him over hiking rates so close to the election, says Tim Gallagher at ISI Group. If still unconfirmed, by June 20th, Greenspan would remain chairman unless someone else is picked. If reappointed, he'd likely quit the Fed in 2006. But here's the bottom line. George Bush is holding this sword of Damocles over Alan Greenspan. He's saying, you know, I'm not going to reappoint you until the very last minute. And in exchange for that, you're not going to raise interest rates until I tell you to. Because when the interest rates go up, the housing bubble is going to burst. And boy, are we going to have a mess. Oil is playing into this, by the way, and I got to share with you something that's going on. Why we are losing America? You think immigration is a big problem? Forget immigration. This is the true loss of America. I'll tell you right after this break. 20 minutes past the hour. Tom Hartman with you.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is a small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Wakefield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates lock out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
In the foreword to Tom Hartman's book, The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight, The Fate of the World and What We Can Do Before It's Too Late, renowned author Joseph Chilton Pierce writes,
to discover brilliant, innovative, creative, and original thinking is one of life's rare privileges. To discover that such a thinker has focused on the most critical of all issues facing our species is encouraging. Because The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight is a seminal work offering a viewpoint original yet ancient, I see our situation today in a new light. And because of the scope and depth of this work, I find it inspiring as well as disturbing. I rather exhausted superlative in praise of Tom Hartman's book, The Prophet's Way, which I rightly called the most important book I've ever read. But now I find this sequel calling for equal praise, since the issue here addresses the whole of our species, and indeed all species.
The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight, The Fate of the World and What We Can Do Before It's Too Late by Tom Hartman, in bookstores everywhere.
The issue, middle-class tax cuts. John Kerry voted to eliminate the marriage penalty and for a child tax credit. Kerry's economic plan? Roll back tax cuts for the wealthiest 1%, helping pay for a middle-class tax cut. Don't reward corporations that export jobs overseas. George Bush, he supported tax breaks for exporting jobs, and he raided Social Security to pay for a tax cut for millionaires. Bush's priorities won't strengthen America.
During the past 3 years, it's true George W. Bush has created more jobs. Unfortunately, they were created in places like China.
Bush's policies have encouraged the loss of nearly 3 million jobs. He supported tax breaks to corporations that ship jobs overseas. George W. Bush is taking our country in the wrong direction. It's time to make America work for every American.
Hey, how you doing? Got a quick question.
Yeah?
Who was Rudolf Nureyev?
Rudy Nureyev.
Rudy.
Okay, I know this one.
Good.
Wasn't he wasn't he a defenseman for the Maple Leafs? Sure about that? Could have been a goalie.
Yeah. Hey, how you doing? Who was Louis Armstrong?
That's easy. He was the first guy on the moon.
Really?
You know, one small step for man.
Sure, one giant leap for Louis. Hey, young lady.
Uh-huh.
Does the name Carlo Baggio mean anything to you?
Wasn't he the guy that went out with that mob guy's sister until he got whacked?
You know, no.
Are your kids as well-rounded as they could be? Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more about the value of arts education, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Nureyev's dance, Armstrong's horn, and Caravaggio's brush. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
When someone makes a move of which we don't approve, who is it that always intervenes? UN and OAS, they have their place, I guess. But first, send the Marines.
Yes, indeed, folks, send the Marines.
And Tom Lehrer there. Yeah, and now here's this from the Associated Press today. The United States posted a record trade deficit in March. Now, the average person sits around and goes, oh, yeah, record trade deficit. What does that mean? This is not going to be a lecture on economics. I said this is more you talk about the loss of America, and you've got the right-wingers over there talking about the loss of America to immigration, all of them, of course, being the descendants of immigrants, but, you know, they'll have us ignore that for the moment. Immigrants are coming in and they're buying up businesses and they're buying up America and they're taking our jobs and all these. Well, the real problem, you want to know why, for example, what was once the largest publishing company in the United States, Random House, which has published three of my books now, is not an American company. It's owned by Bertelsmann, a German company. In fact, if you look around and you scratch the surface, Chrysler is now owned by Mercedes or Daimler, Daimler-Benz, I think it is, that owns Mercedes and Chrysler. And on the list goes. And people wonder, why is it or how is it that so much of America, so much of America's infrastructure, so many of our businesses are owned by companies from or people who don't live in the United States? Well, it's very, very simple. Let me give you a metaphor. I'm living here in my house. And let's say that the house is paid off and all is well. But I'm in a little economic trouble, and so I go to you and I say, hey, would you loan me some money? And you loan me say $50,000 or something. And then I can't pay it back. In fact, I keep coming to you and say, would you loan me another $10,000? Would you loan me another $10,000? Would you loan me another $10,000? Now, pretty soon you're sitting there with all these IOUs from me. And you're going to come back and say, I'd like you to repay these. And I say, well, I don't have the money to repay them. I'm sorry. And you say, well, okay, you've got a nice library in your house. We've got about 6,000 books here. I'll take the books. And we'll knock off about, 10,000 of the debt. I like your car. I'll take that. That bedroom back there. I'll take that bedroom. And eventually we'll even it out. Well, that's what's happening. When you run a trade deficit, The only way that it can get rebalanced is for whoever's on the receiving side, whoever's on the upside of that. We are the deficit side. We are the debtors. Whoever is the creditor, the only way that they can get their money back is to come into the United States and buy parts of America. And that's why you have some of the, you know, one of the biggest gold mines in America is owned by a Canadian company. You've got timber, you know, all across the country owned by Canadian companies. You've got French companies. You've got, you know, water being sold by French company. You've got all these products that are being actually manufactured in the United States, many of them, because the companies own big pieces of the United States because of our trade deficit. Last month, the month before last, the last reported month, the month of March, our trade deficit was $46 billion. That means eventually $46 billion worth of America's productive infrastructure is going to end up in the hands of some foreign company or some foreign person somewhere, some sheikh from Saudi Arabia or whatever. And when they own our stuff, what that means is that if you go to work for one of those organizations and they make a profit, that profit does not stay in America. It does not create more American jobs. That profit goes back to Saudi Arabia, goes back to Germany, goes back to Canada, and we become weaker and weaker and poorer and poorer. And this is the real scandal. While the cons are screaming about immigration, let's talk about the immigration of the assets of the United States through the bizarre trade policy of this administration.
A must read, The Edison Gene, ADHD and the Gift of the Hunter Child by Tom Hartman, best-selling author of Attention Deficit Disorder, A Different Perception. Ed Hallowell, a nationally recognized expert on ADD, said this about The Edison Gene.
Tom Hartman demonstrates that ADHD can be associated with creativity, high achievement, and a most successful adaptive style.
The Edison Gene, now available in bookstores everywhere.
Pop and not-so-pop culture, democracy, and the news of the day. This is the Tom Hartman Program.
This is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm Sarah Turner. All charges have been dropped against anti-war protesters and a South Carolina longshore official arrested in the port of Oakland a year ago. American President Lines and Stevedoring Services of America were being picketed for war profiteering. Charleston longshore unionists participated in several anti-war rallies and were attacked by riot-clad police at the behest of the maritime companies.
On May 11th, by a 59-40 vote, the United States Senate rejected an amendment to a corporate tax cut bill that would have extended federal unemployment insurance benefits to a growing number of Americans out of work for 6 months or more. Assuming the one absent senator would have voted yes, the fight would have at least lived another day, but as of now, the effort's officially dead until after the November election. The missing man was Massachusetts Democrat John Kerry, who was out on the campaign trail in Kentucky. A Kerry spokesman says the vote was meaningless as GOP leaders in Congress had vowed to kill the extension by any means necessary on the grounds that it would have added more red ink to a budget already swimming in it.
The future of overtime pay protections is still threatened. On Wednesday, House Democrat George Miller offered a motion stating that any worker currently eligible for overtime pay would not lose it under new regulations announced last week by the Bush administration. But he was stopped by Republican Majority Leader Tom DeLay. The Senate approved a bill that contains two bipartisan amendments to protect employees from the overtime pay regulations. Barring congressional intervention, the changes, which would eliminate overtime pay for up to 8 million workers, will become effective in August.
British firefighters are threatening another summer strike unless last-minute provisions added by the government to a laboriously negotiated national contract are dropped. The Fire Brigades Union especially objects to changes which could lead to reductions in benefits for overtime work and rest periods. The union's so angry it suspended its national conference this week and told delegates to go out and rally the rank and file, possibly for action beginning in July. Last June, the British military took over fire service in the country for 2 weeks as firefighters picketed.
Here's today's Dow Bob Report. A new study by a Washington-based organization, The Sentencing Project, found that the number of people serving life sentences has increased dramatically over the past decade, even as the nation's violent crime rate has fallen. Since 1992, the U.S. has seen an increase of 83% to more than 127,000 inmates. The study attributes the rise in life sentences to mandatory minimums and three strikes laws.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
This is the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman.
And welcome back. 27 minutes before the hour, it's the Tom Hartman radio program, and time for our limbo alert.
With condescending crimes, making money, selling lies. You might say, everybody hates my guts.
Yes, indeed.
I'm offensive, I'm a bigot, I'm a fraud. Can you dig it? I'm a sexist, racist, homophobic, fat, pathetic cuts.
And now we find the liberals doing what they always do, and I've told you this, they always try to give me 50 milligrams of Vicodin instead of the 80s.
I'm a Nazi.
You're being scammed.
I'm a Nazi.
I don't care about the middle class.
I'm a fat conservative butthead with the face of a horse's ass.
He's a fat conservative butthead.
Hey.
With the face of a horse's ass. So, our theme music for our limbo alert. Here it is from the Wire Reports. West Palm Beach, Florida. Rush Limbaugh took out full-page ads in two Florida newspapers Thursday to attack prosecutors. Now, you think the average guy on the street could do this? I mean, you just imagine all the people who are arrested and thrown in prison every year for taking OxyContin and Vicodin. To attack prosecutors who are investigating whether he illegally purchased prescription drugs. I mean, this is such a favorite tactic of the right. Right? You know, you go on the attack. In the ads, the conservative radio commentator renewed his accusations that the criminal investigation was politically motivated, and he accused one of the newspapers, the Palm Beach Post, of trying to discredit him to justify the investigation. The other ad appeared in the South Florida Sun Sentinel. Yes, friends, our limbo alert for the day.
In closing, let me say that each and every day, I'm an evil, rotten, egotistical snob. I'm the capo, Joe McCarthy-like Gestapo, the right-wing, foam-at-the-mouth, jack-booted slob, the democratic trasher, years of liberal bashing with the equivalent compassion of a grommet. With the IQ of a pig, I'm the fat of not. And the truth of the matter is, I'm vomit. Because I'm a Nazi.
He's a Nazi.
I really am. Because I'm a Nazi.
He's a Nazi.
You're being scared.
Ah, the right wing.
I don't care about the middle class. Because I'm a fear-mongering scumbag. With the face of a horse's ass.
He's a fat conservative
butthead. Hey, Republican sleepball. Fear-mongering scumbag.
Yeah. Okay. On it goes. Our limbo alert for the day, not to, you know, pick on too much on your basic generic drug addict, but nonetheless, the rough road to confession. Let's, speaking of cons, this is in the New York Times today, and an article by Ian Fisher, and I have to share this with you. I mean, every now and then something comes along that is just so compelling, and of course, there's no pictures to go along with it, so it's not going to be on 60 Minutes, and Rumsfeld isn't going to be apologizing for it or rationalizing it. But I have to share with you this brilliant article written of it. The rough road to confession began with the ridicule of the naked and hooded prisoner's name, Saddam. The now former prisoner, Saddam Saleh Abdu, 29, said that his treatment escalated into a threat of rape by an American soldier named Ivan in the 1A block of Abu Ghraib prison. Now, you'll recall,
It was the 1A block that that Imhoff the other day was going, these guys are all murderers, they're all scum, we need to... Foaming at the mouth during the hearings. John McCain walked out on him. Well, let me just set this up for you, by the way. What did this guy do that ended him up in A1 block? Saddam Saleh Aboud, 29 years old. He's a trader, and T-R-A-D-E-R. He's a businessman, a Sunni Muslim from near the northern border with Syria. He said he was arrested on November 29th, 2003, when he reported to the Iraqi police a car on Sadoun Street in downtown Baghdad that he believed was wired with a bomb. You get this? This guy sees a car, and he thinks it's suspicious. There's been bombs going off all over the place, car bombs all over the place. The good citizen that he is, he goes to the police department to report it. Says, you know, I think you ought to check this car out. And he ends up in cell block 1A of Abu Ghraib. Then, he said, he was chained in a sitting position to the bars of a cell for 23 hours in a day. Loud music thumped, he said. He urinated where he sat. Every few days, he said, he was uncuffed for other treatments. Douses of cold water, barking dogs, something called the scorpion, in which his arms were cuffed to his legs behind his back. Fellow prisoners, he said, told him it lasted 18 days. He said he did not know and that it did not matter. He was ready to talk. Now, he didn't remember how long this had, you know, how this brutality went on for 18 consecutive days. They began talking to me, Aboud said. They asked, do you know the Islamic opposition? I said, yes. They said, do you know Zarqawi? Referring to Abdul Musab al-Zarqawi and a Jordanian-born militant with ties to al-Qaeda. I told them, I am his driver, I swear to God. They asked me about Osama bin Laden. He said, I am Osama bin Laden, but I am in disguise. He said he meant every word. I was only afraid that they would take me back to the torture room. I would prefer to be dead. He mentioned several cellmates with names similar to those in the report by General Taguba. With no prompting, he also provided first names of several important figures in the report and accurately described some of their roles. A sergeant named Ivan, a woman named Lynn or Linny, he said. A civilian named Steve, who seemed to be in charge of the interrogations. Turns out there's a guy named Steven Stefanowitz, a civilian interrogator, who Taguba said in his report, instructed military police officers to elicit confessions using unapproved methods. He went on to point out, and just consider the humanity of this. Here's this guy. He sees a car that he thinks is suspicious. He goes to the police department to report it. He ends up in Abu Ghraib prison, being tortured for 18 days, until finally he confesses that he's Saddam Hussein in disguise. He'll say anything to get them to stop. And the New York Times notes, he also said that the soldiers themselves, as a group, seemed conflicted about what they were doing. While some seemed to enjoy it, he said, one soldier unchained him for several hours, only to rush back and chain him again when his superiors were coming. At one point, one female soldier, whom he identified as Lisa, yelled at a man who had punched him during questioning. He said, I want to clarify one thing. Most of the American soldiers are not bad. This is the story of Saddam Saleh Aboud, 29 years old. Went to do his civic duty. And now, I think it's just worth, you know, in this context, I think it's just worth revisiting what the right-wingers in America have to say about such people.
Instead of protecting pensions...
Whoop! Excuse me. Wrong clip here. Here we go. Okay, let's try this.
And I think there should be no mercy shown to these subhumans.
Yeah, these subhumans.
I believe that 1,000 of them should be killed tomorrow. I think 1,000 of them held in the Iraqi prison should be given a 24-hour trial and executed.
Yeah. So, what are your thoughts on that? 1-866-889-8894 if you'd like to weigh in. I think I've had about all of Michael Wiener I can stomach for the day. George Bush does not want the telecom wind to backfire. Well, this is part of a larger picture. And, in fact, the Make America Work for Us group is running an ad that talks about this issue. This is the thing I wanted to tell you about next. The Bush administration, we have here in Vermont a small local phone company. It's called Sovernet. Sover after sovereign, as in Vermont was once a sovereign nation. And, you know, people, it's kind of a, you know, it's a buzzword in Vermont. And, in fact, some people think we should be a sovereign nation again. By the way, that Michael Wiener, also known as Michael Savage, that I was just playing a moment ago, as you probably heard before. Anyhow, we have public rights of way. I mean, there's these wires that carry telephone lines that in many cases around the United States, probably in most cases, were built by the government or put up with government subsidies, in all cases, are being maintained by government subsidies. And right here in Vermont, Verizon, one of the baby bells, came in and bought the rights to all this kind of stuff. And so the government said, okay, if you're going to own the monopoly of all that copper, you have to let other people use it. And we got this local company, this local phone company, Sovernet, that is leasing lines from Verizon, and they are my long-distance provider. You call me, you're talking on a Sovernet line, and it's cheaper. It's cheaper than Verizon. Plus, if I call, I can call them, and a human being answers who's right here in Vermont. And, you know, we've had problems with our lines, and somebody shows up at the door like 15 minutes later. I mean, the Bush administration wants to put these guys out of business. I'll share that with you right after this. Let's take a phone call. 1-866-889-8894. Our telephone number, Holly in Santa Fe, is on the line. Hi, Holly.
Hi, Tom. I was so sickened by that clip from Michael Savage that I got out of my car and liked my keys in it.
Oh, I'm
sorry.
Radio's
still running. But
I'm sorry.
Very disturbing, and I could talk about that another time. But I wanted to take – you know, there was a time when conservatives used to – and I guess they still do it – they would target – particular liberal congressional seat, somebody,
yeah.
And then they would rally everybody nationwide to help defeat them and replace them with a right winger.
Yeah,
and
like Hillary.
Yeah, exactly. So I would like to call for. I think one of the greatest gifts we could give to John Kerry would be for us to target Heather Wilson, who is the congressional rep here in New Mexico in District 1, Albuquerque, and defeat her.
She being a Republican, I assume.
And Heather Wilson, do you know who she is?
No, I don't. I'm sorry.
Well, go to a website. It's called Right Web, and they have bios on all the right wingers. And she is she's an important person to watch. She gets Bush and Cheney to come into New Mexico to raise money for her. She's a Rhodes Scholar. There are people who believe that she's being groomed to at some point be run as the first female VP candidate. She helped to write the defense for why Bush needed to back out of the anti-ballistic missile treaty. And, well, anyway, you need to know who she is.
Yeah.
So,
a toxic con.
Very, very scary.
Yeah.
And I also heard that she was roommates with Condoleezza Rice at Stanford. And I don't know if that's true, but
yeah.
That's what I heard.
Yeah.
So we're trying to defeat her, and it's because we need to defeat her locally, and we also need to defeat her because of the impact she has nationally. And so those of us in Santa Fe are having. So anyway, I want to invite anyone to help us defeat Heather Wilson and help us.
Anyone across the United States.
Miles Nelson is running against her
in the
Democratic primary.
Miles Nelson.
Anyone wants to come to my house on Sunday, 471-2962, to meet Miles Nelson and contribute to his campaign, let me know, because I've targeted Heather Wilson.
Yeah, and Miles Nelson is the target. Miles Nelson is the Democratic candidate.
He has to defeat Richard Romero in the primary first. Richard Romero is a real nice guy. He's a state legislator. He's completely ineffective, and he couldn't beat Heather last time. He's not going to beat her this time.
Yeah.
But Miles Nelson can do that. He's a physician from Albuquerque, charming, very devoted. He can do it.
That's great. Well, if you really want to give out your name on national radio, I mean your phone number, feel free to do it again.
471-2962.
That's in Santa Fe. And
so I'm just giving you that much. Anybody who wants to come on Sunday afternoon at 4:30 to meet Miles, let me know. I'll give you directions to our house.
Great. And Holly, you can periodically call in Heather Wilson Watches to the program. Let us know the next time she does something off the wall.
There is actually a website, Heather Wilson Watch. Wilson Watch.
Yeah. Well, I don't always
but
have the time to track this
stuff.
I'll
be glad to send you some of that. I will forward some of that stuff to you, Tom, because this is a person you need to be paying attention to.
Do it. We'll run it, or for that matter, if you just want to call in and report on it, I would love to hear from you regularly.
Okay, great.
Great. Thank you very much, Holly. Appreciate the call. 1-866-889-8894. Okay, here's the thing with the telecom. The Bush administration actually, Michael Powell and all this kind of stuff, they actually got this rule changed so that Verizon doesn't have to lease lines to Sovereignet any longer and can basically run the show. And this is really what it's about. This is an ad from Make America Work for Us. And this, it does a good job of just exposing the con agenda here.
Instead of protecting pensions, George Bush supported a bill giving Enron huge new tax breaks. Instead of giving seniors real prescription drug benefits, Bush gave drug companies billions in his Medicare bill. Instead of fighting corporate corruption, George Bush gave no-bid contracts to Halliburton, a company caught overcharging for fuel and food for our soldiers in Iraq. George Bush. He's turned the White House into corporate headquarters.
Yeah, and that's the bottom line, and that is that story. It's the Tom Hartman Radio Program. Let's take a quick call here, Shannon. We've only got about 30 seconds, but I can hold you over the break if you want.
I can probably take care of it. I wanted to find out where you got that story about that soldier in Abu Ghraib.
It's in the New York Times today.
New York Times. Because I'm writing Michael Savage right now, and I'm adding that into my rant to him.
Actually, I would suggest
soldier, and I am enraged by what he said.
Yeah, well, don't. If you write to him, it'll just everybody there will just say, oh, he has more listeners, better ratings. Instead, write to the letters of the editor, your local newspaper,
good point.
And let
them
know. Thanks, Shannon, for the call.
Yep.
It's the Tom Hartman Program. 10 minutes before the hour.
Are you frustrated by your constant inability to lose weight? Are you looking for a natural, clinically proven weight loss breakthrough? Introducing CarboBlocker. Unlike anything else on the market, CarboBlocker is backed by clinical research that proves it effectively helps block the fattening effects of carbs without stimulants. Your body will think you're eating a low-carb diet even when you're not. The results are simply amazing. If you want to maintain the weight loss effects of low-carb dieting for the long run, if you're tired of clothes that are too tight and you want to look fit and sexy, then CarboBlocker is for you. It's clinically effective formula is safe, natural, and stimulant-free. And as a special introductory offer, when you order 2 bottles of Carbo Blocker, you'll get 2 bottles of Appetite Blocker absolutely free. Call in the next 10 minutes, and you'll also receive 2 free books, Lose Fat Now and the Low Carb Cookbook, a $100 value. Absolutely free, so call now, 1-800-743-5704. Guaranteed to work or your money back, so call now, 1-800-743-5704. That's 1-800-743-5704.
The Founding Fathers thought they'd stop corporations from ever overthrowing elected government. Little did they know that 200 years later, democracy would be stolen and twisted in the name of so-called conservative values. Hi, this is Tom Hartman. The Founders of America fought the Revolutionary War against the excessive corporate power of the East India Company, and presidents from Jefferson to Eisenhower warned us that extremely big businesses could destroy democracy. You'll find this extraordinary American story in my book, Unequal Protection: The Rise of Corporate Dominance and the Theft of Human Rights. It starts with the Boston Tea Party and ends with the rampant corruption of the Bush administration. It tells the dramatic story of how corporations hijacked the Bill of Rights, setting the stage for the CEO takeover of America. And it shows how we can take America back and tells the stories of Americans from Pennsylvania to California who are doing just that right now.
Unequal Protection is available in bookstores nationwide. And you can read several chapters online at unequalprotection.com. That's Unequal Protection by Tom Hartman.
Are you or a loved one making too many trips to the bathroom? Listen closely because you're not alone. Over 30 million men suffer from an enlarged prostate. That's why if you make frequent trips to the bathroom, have urgency, hesitancy, or a diminished sex drive, then Super Prostate Formula is for you. It was designed by nationally recognized physician Dr. Michael Toplitsky. The results with his patients have been amazing. Reclaim control now and join the thousands of satisfied customers who have had incredible results with Super Prostate Formula. When you order two bottles of Dr. Toplitsky's Super Prostate Formula, you'll also get two bottles of his Super Libido Formula, an all-natural alternative to Viagra to enhance sexual vitality and performance, plus his book, Complete Guide to Prostate Health, and his newsletter, a total $100 value free as your gift. Guaranteed or your money back. If you're not completely satisfied, return it for a full refund and keep his Libido Formula book and newsletter free as your gift. Not available in stores. Call now. 800-452-0978. 800-452-0978. That's 800-452-0978.
Scientists are trying to understand the ups and downs of a potent greenhouse gas. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. Scientists constantly monitor the atmosphere to keep track of gases that contribute to global warming. They had some good news to announce last fall about one of them. They said methane levels had not gone up for 4 years. That seemed like good news at the time, but it turns out the story is much more complicated. Ed Dugalkinski is a chemist at a climate lab in Boulder, Colorado, that's run by the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. Dugalkinski says some methane occurs naturally. For example, it bubbles out of wetlands as dead plants decompose in the soggy soil. But for more than 100 years, farming and industry have generated much more of this greenhouse gas than any natural source. Dugalkinski says the year-by-year increase in methane levels slowed down during the 1980s and 90s. In 1999, methane levels didn't go up at all, and they remained stable for 4 years in a row. Some people said that showed we were bringing at least one greenhouse gas control. Dugalkinski says it's hard to look at the statistics and say exactly what was behind the brief period of stability, but whatever the reason, it appears to be over, and methane levels are going up once more.
Looking at our preliminary 2003 data, we see an increase again. So this stabilization isn't sort of a permanent stabilization. It was just a combination of factors that persisted over that four-year period that made methane look like it was perhaps stabilizing. But in 2003, we actually see a pretty significant increase.
Dugalkinski's research on methane was published last year in the journal Geophysical Research Letters. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
Democracy to the United States of America. Here's Tom Hartman.
Back. I see the folks in our chat room caught it. So much for leaving the old microphone open. Welcome back. You know, I want to say to Shannon, who called, who's serving in our armed forces, thank you. Thank you for serving in the armed forces of the United States. Thank you for calling. Thank you for caring. It's, you know, about these issues. It is so important. The Nazis could not have risen to power in Germany without propaganda. It just is that simple. They could not have risen to power without propaganda. They had to win the hearts and minds of the German people. And in order to do that, they had to convince the German people that there was a them. They had to dehumanize other human beings. The Untermenschen, the underpersons, the subhumans, they had to convince the average person that there was a them among them and that this them wasn't worthy of having human rights because it was a them. And this is the mentality that has infected the extremists among the conservatives in the United States that has led to the United States building the first concentration camp at Guantanamo Bay in my lifetime. Our first concentration camp. And holding in that concentration camp people and overtly saying, no, they don't have human rights. The people in the Abu Ghraib prison, they don't have human rights. Now, there were a few Caucasians that got caught up in the sweep. They ended up down in Guantanamo. We released them back to England. Remember that? But the rest, no, they don't have human rights. And I think it's just so great that people are willing to take action and do something about this. Write a letter to your local newspaper, any radio station let the stations know. Get the word out. And the positive thing is to support the sponsors of the programs that you support. That's not just a pitch for this program. There's a lot of other good liberal programming out there. Let their sponsors know that you're listening and their programmers. Thanks to Louise for producing our program today. Thanks to Brad Walrod in New York for pulling together and editing our music, and to Jay Mueller for writing and performing our theme music. Thanks to Shelby for RadioPower.org and Ben for WhiteRoseSociety.org. Mike Toth, who does our archives. Thanks to the folks in the chat room for showing up. And thanks to you for listening. Rama Schneider will be filling in for me on Monday. I'll be back on Tuesday. See you then.
Site at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Grapes are one of the most heavily sprayed of all agricultural products? Most people don't. But that is why it's so very important to drink wines that are made with certified organic grapes. And that is exactly what we are inviting you to do today. Taste our wines. We select them personally. They come from small properties in the south of France. They are delicious, connoisseur.